It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Guess what, y'all? This program's live. I said yesterday that there would be no live prayer meeting Wednesday. I was wrong. I got word from my daughter that she didn't need me to take her to the doctor today, so she's rescheduled that appointment. So yes, this program is live on the 13th day of July, 2022. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you would, among other things, like to help keep this program on the air. We've got a $1,085 fundraising hole to fill in, and it would be great if we could, so that, you know, the eternal stress of just trying to keep the lights on could alleviate a little bit. But that's where that stands. And, of course, if you want to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is the Horn chat room, feel free to pop by HeadOn.live for that as well, where you will be joyfully greeted by early arriver Squeaky and capably moderated by pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia Stan. Steve! It's always so good to see you. And, you know, I'm there too. And folks will, I trust, be wandering by as the evening proceeds. Did I do the hi, I'm Robin part? Because I am. Hi, I'm Robin. Not Robin, I'm hi. No, it's hi, I'm Robin. Okay? And every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is, of course, no different. And so, consequently, we say thank you to our 13th day of the month subscribers via PayPal. And what that means is that we say thank you in particular to Paul. Thank you, Paul, and thank you to Gary and Gaia. Thank you so very much for being the partial sponsors of the program for the 13th day of the month. Hey, look, there's Dave popping into the chat room. Hey, Dave. But thank you for being partial sponsors. And yeah, here we are at $1,085 to go. And just trying to keep all the bills paid. Because, you know, I really am looking forward to, I hope I can, go to Netroots Nation. I've got my media credentials all lined up. That's in August. And then, but before that, I have to travel to Franklin, Tennessee, for my 9-month checkup post-op, and those things are both gonna cost money, and more inflation news today, and I happen to be in the Wiggling Pig standing in line to check out a couple of items, and saw a couple of grizzled old fellows walking in the one, and you know how I was talking yesterday about how nobody else can be saying anything, and a maggot will come along and just start opining. Well, it was almost as though I'd conjured it up or something. The old dude, grizzled, God, you remember that? Remember that Saturday Night Live skit with Garth Brooks? No, 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 it wasn't Garth Brooks. Garth Brooks was in Old French Whore, the game show. No, it was Robert Duvall in Grizzled Old Men. And he was really cruising along until he got to and he got one wrong. It was like, oh no, I'm sorry, that's not grizzled, that's wistful. Oh, damn it. But it is grizzled old coot, this old codger. Nobody was paying attention. But he just sort of buttonholed another codger and stood there and made sure he was close enough so everybody could hear him grunting and hooting. I tell you what, I'm about sick of these here Democrats in Washington. I tell you what this country's coming to. I don't... And, you know, in a former life, somebody I knew named Bob might have turned around and said, yeah, I don't know what this country's coming to. Taking basic citizenship rights away from 51% of the citizens of this country is pretty disgusting. No, I wasn't talking about the women folk. No, it was just a loudmouth maggot. I don't know. Maybe it's one of the and I should be more charitable. Maybe it's one of those hello in there kind of moments. You know, the John Prine song. Maybe he lives alone, doesn't have anybody to talk to except for screaming at the testicle toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. Maybe that's what it is. And so he sees a human being like, I tell you what, let me tell you about this country here. By golly, I tell you what them goddamn Democrats, I tell you, I don't know what they're going to do. They're trying to ruin this. We ain't got much time left. What we ain't got is going to ruin everything, goddamn Biden.
I do that entirely too well.
But I didn't. I was proud of myself. Kept girl mouth shut. And just sat there and fly on a wall. But I'm fascinated with this cultural phenomenon of why these maggots feel like that they need to. Are they looking for validation? Is this like the is this like that old Bloom County strip where Milo's granddaddy takes him liberal hunting and they're sitting in the blind and he goes, "All right, kid, use the liberal call." Well, Milo stands up in the blind and says, "Save the whales! Save the whales!" And all of a sudden, a liberal pops up further out in the marsh and goes, "No nukes! No nukes!" And Grandpa says, "Got him." I don't know. I don't know. I'd love to have your thoughts on that topic. Because really, I don't walk, and I'm pretty mouthy. Not exactly a shrinking violet. It just I didn't feel like throwing away the precious finite time of my limited existence on this sweet little blue green marble hurtling in its helical fashion through the universe today. On an old coot whose political understanding is at about the level of, I don't know, romper room. And that's probably aspirational. Now, did I say De Niro, Ralphs? I'm sorry. No, it was Robert Duvall. Robert Duvall. Grizzled Old Man was the name of the game show skit. Anyway, it's not worth... It's not worth it, but it was always good. It was good. But that, I think maybe we might do well for ourselves if we could understand why it is they are that way. Who do they? What creates that sense of need? I mean, it's very reminiscent, this being Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. This being Prayer Meeting Wednesday, it's reminiscent of how they'd tell us in church when we were, you know, little, that we had to go out and spread the gospel, you know, in a state that was wall-to-wall gospel. Who did they expect us to get? Or was it just merchandising and trying to turn people from, I don't know, Presbyterians into Southern Baptists? It beats the dickens out of me. But that was just a little moment. But anyway, if you'd like to help out, run over to headon.live. There's a PayPal button there. If you'd like to be a new subscriber on Patreon, you go to the Contribute tab. It means a very great deal to have new subscribers. And either way, a new $10 subscriber at Patreon or PayPal will get doubled for the first month, courtesy of our dear friend Zed out in Iowegia. Hey, Zed. So, you know, your $10 will become $20 if you do that. He'll do that for 5 new subscribers this month. But enough of that. I know where I'd like for the program to start today. And let me tell you, it was a beautiful day today. And the little old blue-haired ladies and the little old blue-haired men in the Cathedral of Common Sense Fellowship Hall kitchen, well, they caught some... I caught some manager's special steaks in the meat case down to the Wiggling Pig, and they cut them up. They chunked it real nice, and they made braised beef tips in brown gravy, and there was jasmine rice, and the gravy and the rice was wonderful, and oh my goodness gracious, there was homemade macaroni salad. Yeah, they've been going great guns on the strawberry shortcake. Only the blackberries are in now, and so the little old blue-haired men actually went out into the blackberry brambles, put on their heavy jeans and their boots, so the copperheads couldn't get through them, and brought in a bunch of blackberries to go with the the strawberries, and put it on top of yellow cake. Had some whipped cream to go with it, and I mean the deacons, well, they fell on their knees and prayed to God, and then they fell on that dessert and prayed on it. And I mean to tell you, it was good. And as quick as they had got done wiping the dessert dribbles off their multiple chins, they trundled their massive bulk up the stairs and out into the parking lot where they commenced to smoking with the sinners. I used to smoke right with them out there, but let's see, what is it, September, July, yeah, I am 22 months, it's been 22 months that I have not been out smoking with the sinners in the parking lot, but they did. But I showed up at the door, and I kind of gave them a crackle of the horn solar-powered cattle prod, and they put wings to heel, as dear leader once said back in the early part of this century. And they got to rumbling and stumbling and bumbling. They blew right past me, right through the vestibule, right through that desiccating bowl of butter mints. It got real bad a few years back, and they done got et by the deacons. They was right hungry, and I think they've been desiccating for a good 6-7 years now, so they taste nice and musty if anybody's silly enough to reach and grab one. They came down here to the front of the sanctuary and took up their stance because they're waiting now. They got those heavy brass bound plates in their paws, velvet lined. Got the little PayPal and Patreon buttons in there. The mailing address, the horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, West Virginia 25801, is also embossed in gold in that burgundy velvet. And we will have the offertory hymn in a moment, and we will send them around. Pass the aisles, take the plate, pass it on. There'll be another deacon waiting at the other end to take it up from you. And they'll just keep moving. They'll just keep moving in the faithful hope that we will knock down some portion of $1,085 in our fundraising deficit, if that's all right. So, Brother Minister of Music, if you would come up, please, and lead us as we get this prayer meeting Wednesday underway.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop!
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh! Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. It is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, brethren and sisters and non-binary siblings. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm calling on you right now. After the plate has passed you by, get up out of your seat and onto your feet and come on out and come on down that blood red carpet and fall on your knees at the altar and, oh, lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays flowing through you from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Aggravated Abbess, Mean Ass Mother Superior, Robin Kincaid, and this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And I'm telling you, goodness gracious sakes alive, you know what? We have great fear in the land today. We do. And the people doing the fearing are actually the people who are in the majority. Mm-hmm. I don't reckon there's an evangelical Christian anywhere in America that isn't scared to death that all the doors of all the churches is going to be just shut just any old time now. Mercy sakes, I know. I ain't exactly sure why it is they're a fear in that, but they're a fear in that. Well, actually, the real reason is that over to the State Department, there's an outfit inside the State Department called the Bureau of Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor. And I realize it's going to make your brain hurt trying to figure out how this works, but the Bureau of Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor gives grants to organizations all over the world to try to protect religious freedom. And in terms of protecting religious freedom, one of the things that they also protect is the rights of people who don't believe in particular religions to not believe in particular religions. Well, this is what got a surefire maggot moron all kinds of bent out of shape. A fellow named Glenn Grothman from Wisconsin. And he knows exactly what's going on there. The Biden administration is gonna slander, I tell you, slander Christianity by giving organizations money to protect faith in Christianity. Yeah, nobody said Glenn was exactly a rocket scientist, so you might want to grab hold of the hockey puck and the duct tape, and well, hold on tight.
I cannot think of a country that's been more blessed, in which our citizens have more of an opportunity to grow and thrive than the United States of America. And we are taking God's blessings and using them to promote really an atheistic, anti-Christian ideology. You are right now.
Now, bear in mind that antagonistic, anti-atheist, anti-Christian ideology, that exists, and I want to be real clear on this, only in the thin gray settlings that slosh around in Glenn Grothman's betwixt his ears and pass for brains. Because there's not a shred nor an iota to suggest that anything he's speaking is true. But of course, this being prayer meeting Wednesday, we can point out that, Glenn Grothman is a Christian, and therefore he is a liar.
Now they are giving grants to nonprofit organizations around the world to promote atheism. And of course, I think people for a variety of reasons look up to the United States to a certain extent because of our material wealth, but they want to know what the secret is to America's success. And in essence, when we promote atheism, we are telling people in other countries that America's success is due to not believing in God.
You know, what's really fascinating is that Glenn Grothman equates supporting the idea that people should not just be murdered out of hand for not believing in, say, Glenn Grothman's great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky with the oppression of Christianity. I mean, you want to talk about Orwellian? Here we are. Not letting Christians burn at the stake, torture, press, stretch, draw and quarter, burn, I mentioned burn, hang, people who don't believe the way they believe is, that's oppressing the church. Mm-hmm. Oppressing the Christian. It's funny, you know, these maggot Christians, everything oppresses them. Everything. And I find that absolutely fascinating. Just walking around all the time being oppressed. All the married gays are oppressing them. The single gays are oppressing them. The women who want to control their own bodies, oppressing them. Anybody who doesn't think that Nitwit Nero is the greatest maximum leader ever known in the history of the world and the universe on earth today, forever under God, amen. Everybody, they just get up in the morning and they're oppressed. And they go through their day and their just shoulders are a little slumped because they're feeling so damn depressed. I wish we could make a pill to get rid of their oppression. Oh, wait, no. They know how to get rid of their oppression, and that's to get rid of us. Progressives, liberals, people who believe in the rights of women. Women who believe in the rights of women. LGBTQ plus community. Atheists, agnostics, non-Christians. They just think it would be such a happy little world without us all. They do have a bit of a genocidal streak in their heart, don't you think? And of course, we've said before, what you have to take into account is that if they ever do get their way, they'll be jumping up and down for joy for about 15 seconds, and then they'll start looking at each other going, how do you believe? Oh, you must be a heretic. Oh, you need to die in the name of my God. What do you mean you worship the same God as me? No, you don't.
Now, of course, there are people who have their own reasons for being atheistic. And, of course, the Marxists, Karl Marx, was an active atheist. The communists, when they do take over country.
Aye, commies, Marxists, there aren't really any these days, no.
Trees try to shut down the churches. So it is, that is where this influence is coming in the Biden administration. And I don't think enough people know that a goal right now.
Wait, commies and Marxists in the Biden administration? Does he have a file folder with 28 names in it? Is he going to go make a speech in Wheeling, West Virginia or something?
Biden administration is abroad to tell people to, or to give money to people to promote atheism. Another thing that we're doing abroad is in June month, and in Wisconsin, we consider June Dairy Month.
Right.
But there are apparently some congressmen who consider June Gay Month. And
some people, yeah, in Wisconsin, we consider June Dairy Month, but there's some people that consider it Gay Month. It's called Pride, dumbass. But, you know, nobody ever confronts him. Nobody ever just walks up and says, wow, you're a dumbass. I mean, you're stupid as shit. How do you manage to get your own shoes on every morning? Do you sleep in a helmet, fuckwit? But it never happens. I mean, even when we guffaw at things on, you know, like Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, or The Daily Show with the Trevor Noah, or Stephen Colbert, or any of those folks, Jimmy Kimmel, even when we laugh at that, but they're not, these clowns aren't seeing it. Because they live in, they live in bubbles that are I don't know, the meters thick rubber. And they walk blissfully through this life thinking that they are special.
They were flying the gay flag over American embassies. So again, you can imagine if you're in a foreign country and you see the American embassy and you view it as representative of the American government, representative of the hope America is to the world.
Wait, I thought he was talking about a Department of State. Never mind.
And you see the gay flag, it's like, what's that? Well, apparently maybe that's the secret to America's wealth and prosperity. So this is just absolutely a horrible thing. Last week we had a bill pass the House. I don't think it'll pass the Senate. Every Democrat voted for it, every one of them. Requiring on the census or other government forms, surveys that are out there, people listing so-called sexual preference, which is repugnant.
So-called sexual preference.
Can you imagine asking an 8-year-old child, what is your sexual preference? But that's
of course,
what they want.
Nobody does that on the census. Nobody asks 8-year-olds anything. Nobody asks an 8-year-old what their favorite anime character is on the census because nobody asks any 8-year-olds any questions on the census. My God.
They want it to break down any innocence that the children have, but every Democrat in the House of Representatives voted for it. And we have to ask what they had in their mind and why they are doing it and why the Democrat Party is so owned by the gay lobby that every single Democrat voted to say yes.
Dear sweet fake baby Jesus, please let somebody get his browsing history, his private browsing history out so that we can see all the trans porn and the lesbian porn and the gay porn that Glenn Grothman watches, please.
We think a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old ought to be asked what their sexual preferences do, feel like a transgender, whatever. Which is just another example of the moral decline that's being encouraged by the government. There are other things I think you ought to be doing. Now, we sent out a press release a while back with regard to the Super Bowl, a couple of Super Bowls ago. They had an entirely inappropriate program during the halftime. I think it's time the federal or the FCC step up and get some of this garbage off of the television.
I think that was the Super Bowl halftime show that had that gyrating negress on it that was so offensive to Glenn Grothman because what about the children?
Which is another huge problem. But morally, right now, the federal government is kind of acting to me as if the goal of the United States should be to run down Christianity and run down belief in God. And you got to remember, John Adams said that the American Constitution is built only for a moral and religious people. We will fail if we cease to be a moral and religious people. And I think that's why the kingpins, the Democrat Party, are pushing this atheistic agenda, because they know America will fail if we cease to be a moral and religious nation. And that.
Why would they want America to fail? They're doing pretty good. They're running the government. But, of course, please bear in mind that what he said about what John Adams said, that probably came from some freak like David Barton. And David Barton doesn't have the truth in him. So, you know, not saying, just saying. I know, John, I know. Our pal John in Minnesota says, on Wisconsin, what is this cheese curd-eating dumbass talking about? The proletariat are not impressed. Oh, I know. But he is so thoroughly just baptized in the spirit of his ignorance that, well, he kind of earned a pride of place for this prayer meeting Wednesday. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, when he was having the hissy about the sexual identity of, or sexuality of 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds. Well, it was interesting he mentioned a 10-year-old, because that's kind of the other top of the stack story this evening. We touched on it in previous programs, but now I have before me the actual real live, no kidding, hard copy data to back up what we were talking about. Yeah, but first, a couple of comments. Pass the plate. Scott in San Diego says, having been raised Catholic, I knew not of this plate passing of which you speak. When collection time rolled around at Our Lady of Heavy Cramps, the ushers used rectangular wicker baskets on long wicker poles to take up the dough. Well, I guess maybe we can't. Well, we spent it all on the plates. You know, heavy, brass-bound, velvet-lined plates. And you got to have a serious pot passer. Remember the clampets at the pool table with their fancy eating table and the pot passers? It takes a mighty sturdy pot passer to pass them plates, so it's easier just to make people do their own damn work and pass the plate one to another. And it adds to the social benefit of it, Scott, because then you can actually watch it come down the line and you can see who's making change in the plate. Because that is a thing that happens among, you know, Baptists. These are the people who leave a dime under a coffee cup at Bob Evans for a tip. Scott wants to know, though, could old Glenn be a closet Buddhist if his laptop's loaded with the content you suspect it does? He knows all about the concept of... Ha, 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 ha. One hand watching. This is the sound... What is the sound of one hand, you know, one hand clicking? I think we know the sound. You know who thinks everybody around the world looks to America for guidance and inspiration? Emilio says. Americans. Only Americans. True. I'm pretty sure the Germans aren't sitting around saying, well, I wonder what the American leadership has in store for us today. Ah, oui, they say in France. How shall we be led today, eh? Huh? I'll be damned. That's depressing. Ralps has decamped from her home in Wisconsin to a new home on the East Coast, but she still follows Wisconsin politics, and she says, no Democrats filed to run against Wisconsin Representatives Gallagher or Grothman. They must have gerrymandered the hell out of that district. Gerrymandered all the Democrats right out of it. But that is a it's a pity any time that we leave one of those blank. Oh, for pity's sakes. Makes me want to move to Glenn's district. I kid. But that's enough of old Glenn. But I mentioned, 10-year-olds. And you probably know the 10-year-old that I have in mind. The child who was raped, it turns out, apparently she was raped in Columbus and impregnated. And over the last few days and weeks, anyone and everyone, including people who should know better, have cast doubt on the very existence of this 10-year-old rape victim. I mean, I saw one idiot replying to a tweet saying, "Too bad 10-year-old girls can't get pregnant." Checkmate. Okay, Lady B, then. Lady B, subject line, velvet-lined brass collection plates. Yep. Or as Scott would say, yup. That was my experience, both in Baptist and Methodist churches, and our deacons also blocked any escape routes until tithing was done. Well, that's why we put our more portly deacons to work passing the plates, because when they block the doors, nobody's getting through them. No, it's like one of those Big Ten offensive lines where everybody's 6'8 and 340 pounds and pretty lithe. I mean, God, when they get to moving, when they see the cattle, they're quick. Not bad in the 40. But yeah, that's where they're still passing the plates, and so far there's not even a jingle in them. So keep at it, fellers. But no, this 10-year-old in Ohio, it is so sad. The rape in itself is a horror, an unthinkable horror. And, of course, outfits like testicle-toasting Tucky Carlson's Daily Caller. Have said she simply didn't exist. Erased a rape victim. The Wall Street Journal called it a fanciful tale. And over at the home of white supremacy, the Republican white supremacy, the National Review, one Michael Brendan Doherty said that what the 10-year-old endured was a fictive abortion and a fictive rape. See, over at the National Review, they use snotty terms like fictive instead of fictional. And even, I kid you not, this is disgusting, even the Washington Post pointed out that the story wasn't verified enough to suit them. We covered the fact that Mike DeWino, the governor of Ohio, that he had refused to acknowledge what had happened, and that in point of fact, he couldn't be bothered to answer the question of whether children should be compelled to have babies that were got upon them by rape. And too bad a 10-year-old can't get pregnant. Imagine that being your first response to finding out that a 10-year-old had been raped. Well, so we've got a list there of pretty nasty people. And, of course, within that subset of nasty Republicans, you've got, of course,
the guy who turned a blind eye to boys being raped by the team doctor at The Ohio State University. I speak, of course, of Representative Jim Jacketoff Jordan. Speaking of the raped 10-year-old, the raped pregnant 10-year-old, he tweeted, "Another lie! Anyone surprised?" And it went around right-wing media like a damn flash fire, like a brush fire, like a prairie fire. To the point you about couldn't find a Republican who was willing to acknowledge that the child had even been subjected to a rape. There was, of course, the chair of the Hamilton County, Ohio, Republican Party, a misanthrope by the name of Alex Triantafilou. He got on Twitter and said, "It's a garbage lie that a simple Google search confirms is debunked." Only it wasn't. No, it wasn't. On June 30th, the child got the reproductive health care that she so desperately needed, lest her life be put on the line for nothing more than some sordid Republican ideology. She was cared for. She got her abortion, and she has a half a chance at a childhood now, to the extent that the vast majority of it has not been stolen from her. But the people who responded to it, the maggots, the Republicans. A state representative named Brian Stewart from Ohio tweeted the Washington Post story and said, "I wouldn't trust an abortionist to tell me whether the sky is blue." I wonder if you'd trust an abortionist to tell you when you were having a fucking stroke. I hope not. Because another word for abortionist is competently trained physician. And so, it became a badge of honor among Republicans to say that the little girl simply didn't exist, that she was raped. Never happened. Only one problem. Today, a Columbus, Ohio man was indicted. Charged with the rape of the child. It is my sincere and most fervent hope that her identity was not revealed so that she can't be tortured or otherwise intimidated or threatened by some sick-ass fetus fetish maggot Republican. Bad enough that they're already wandering. Well, I wonder what she was wearing. Yeah. Yeah, Emilio says, come on, Robin, you know that story's not verified. Until the girls interviewed opposite Ted Cruz and Ben Shapiro on Real America News, it's fake news. False flag. Well, no, we now know that it is a the case is real. The girl really did have to go through what she went through. And by the way, another thing that Republicans really can't answer for, or don't want to answer for, is that the most recent statistical year for which we know the numbers, 52 girls
in the year 2020, 52 girls, 14 and under, had abortions in Ohio. 52. Since March 15th in Columbus, Ohio, their police log indicates that that police department, again, since March 15th, has had 59 reports of sexual assaults of girls who are 15 and younger. Any one of those could have resulted in a pregnancy. Finally, though, the Columbus Dispatch broke the news that the case was absolutely real, and that Hershon Fuentes, age 27, who at the last knowledge was that he had a Columbus on the he had an apartment on the northwest side of Columbus. Police came and arrested him yesterday, and they also said that he confessed to raping the little girl, not just once, but twice. And in point of fact, she was not 10. She was 9 when he raped her, at least twice. The Columbus police found out about the case from the Franklin County Children's Services. The little girl's mama had called Franklin County Children's Services on June the 22nd. That's what Detective Jeffrey Hun testified to this morning at the arraignment for Hershon Fuentes. And also under oath and testifying, Detective Hun also said that the little girl had undergone an abortion on June the 30th. You know, 6 days after our majestic, most puissant, dread sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties took that right away in general in Ohio. Because they had a trigger law that kicked right in, but Talibandiana did not. Then they got around to arguing about bond for the alleged rapist. Franklin County Municipal Court Judge Cynthia Ebner said she didn't feel like Hershon Fuentes should be held without bond. But she said, you know, $2 million should be sufficient. Because he might be a flight risk. And he has had, Fuentes has had a saliva sample taken from him for comparison for DNA purposes. And it's it's just so very sickening that Republicans will leap immediately to the idea that this did not happen. And shame, shame upon the Washington Post. And the little girl got to Talibandiana just in time, because on July 25th, they will move to make sure that little raped Indiana girls have to have their rapists' babies. By the way, if you're wondering about Ohio,
in their state legislature, both in the House and Senate, they hold veto-proof majorities. So even if Mike DeWino wanted to do something by way of vetoing a bill, he couldn't make it stick. The sickest Ohio politician, the sickest Ohio maggot Republican is, of course, the Attorney General, though. The Attorney General of Ohio is a guy named Dave Yost. He went so far as to go on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda and claim that it didn't happen. Yost is, of course, a monster, as so many of these are.
Let's turn to Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost. So, Dave.
Yeah, and just so you know, this is an interview with Jesse Waters, the guy who used to be the little foot pad for Falafel Boy Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, baby, you're getting really hot. I'd love to give you some white wine and get in the shower with you. I'll rub your jam with some falafel.
It's right there on tape. Yeah. By the way, Lady V lets us know, your average Google search, less than 10% of U.S. girls start to menstruate before 11 years, and 90% of all U.S. girls are menstruating by 13.75 years of age, median age of 12.43 years. Young girls who are sexually abused may undergo puberty earlier than their peers, according to a study published in the April issue of the Journal of Adolescent Health. The study found that girls who had been sexually abused developed breasts 8 months earlier and pubic hair 12 months earlier than their peers. Notes Lady B, P.S., I started my period at age 11. Well, this child was raped and impregnated at age 9. I think it's probably a safe bet to say that she might have been, as I pointed out earlier, a case of that condition known as precocious puberty, which at least in theory could have been stopped, you know, with the same medication that's used for trans kids to delay puberty for them, which of course was used first to delay puberty for cis kids in the case of, well, you know, precocious puberty. Same drug Republicans in Ohio are trying to stop. Darlene in Connecticut says, so I guess the 10-year-old's identity must be revealed to WAPO in order for them to believe it, too. Wow, let's heap more abuse on this little girl. From one grossly misguided and evil super Congress decision, and now the doubt surrounding the 10-year-old's story, so much for the progress made, if any, from the Me Too movement. Point taken, Darlene. The banner for the interview between Jesse Waters and Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost reads, Indy star abortion story has major red flags. Yeah, I think maybe using the term red flag in regard to the rape of a 9-year-old girl maybe isn't such a great idea, but, you know, that's why I'm doing this show, and they're making, Jesse Waters is making millions of dollars teaching Emery and Marvelline to keep hating and keeping them nice and scared. And you know, Marvelline, I don't think that little girl was real. A 9-year-old girl can't get pregnant. I mean, hell, Marvelline, you didn't get pregnant till you was 12 and a half.
Have you had anybody come to you in your state to say we're looking into this? A police report was filed?
Not a whisper. And we work closely with we have a decentralized law enforcement system in Ohio. But we have regular contact with prosecutors and local police and sheriffs. Not a whisper anywhere. Something maybe even more telling, Jesse, is my office runs the state crime lab. any case like this, you're going to have a rape kit. You're going to have biological evidence.
Really,
and
are you?
You would be looking for DNA analysis, which we do most of the DNA analysis in Ohio. There is no case request for analysis that looks anything like this.
Yeah, if it's a family member, then it's even an easier way to find the DNA right there. You just call the father, the uncle, the grandfather, anything, and you get the guy's DNA and you lock him up. It's also a crime to hide child rape. Isn't it against the law if you have a 10-year-old girl come in? Obviously, she's not of the age of consent. They have to report that to law enforcement, and if they don't, that abortion doctor or any doctor should be prosecuted in your state, correct?
That's correct. Now, the doctor in Indiana isn't in our jurisdiction, obviously. We don't know who the originating doctor in Ohio was, if they even exist. But the bottom line is, it is a crime if you're a mandated reporter to fail to report. It's also the fact that in Ohio, the rape of a 10-year-old means life in prison. I know our prosecutors and cops in this state. There's not one of them that wouldn't be turning over every rock in their jurisdiction if they had the slightest hint that this had occurred there.
Yeah, they'd be licking their chops to lock up some sicko like that. Well, we hope this is a hoax, because that means the 10-year-old girl was not raped and impregnated by anybody.
Speaking of hoaxes, though, can I correct something that everybody's reporting wrong nationally?
Sure.
Ohio's heartbeat law has a medical emergency exception, broader than just the life of the mother. This young girl, if she exists and if this horrible thing actually happened to her, breaks my heart to think about it.
Oh.
She did not have to leave Ohio to find treatment.
It's amazing. The more you learn about this, the more unbelievable it becomes. Dave, thank you so much for joining us, and keep us posted if you hear anything.
You bet.
Yeah, Dave. Yeah. Over at the Wall Street Journal, they called it an abortion story too good to be confirmed. And, of course, Dave Yost said, there's not a damn scintilla of evidence. Of course, when it turned out there was a scintilla, and by the way, he's apparently not quite as in contact with law enforcement authorities in his state. I mean, wait a minute. Isn't the capital of the state of Ohio Columbus? Isn't that where Dave Yost is? Isn't that where they arrested Gershon Fuentes? Oh, and by the way, he appeared in court, and his answers and his remarks were had to be translated from Spanish. So expect this to have another layer of hate to it now. I'm sure that now that the maggots are forced to confront the fact that, yeah, she's real, well, Nitwit Nero will be at the podium saying, and you see, this is what Joe Biden has done with his crisis at the border. We're letting Mexican rapists through to rape our little 10-year-old, who definitely got raped because now we can use her for political capital. Believe me. I hate him. God, I hate him. I can't help it. I know it's not good. It's not good for my spirit, whatever you want to call it. But I do. I hate him. Because it's just almost a reflex at this point. How morally bankrupt, how ethically dead do you have to be to mock any rape victim? Oh, wait. Anita Hill, sorry. Let alone a 10-year-old one. I mean, every one of these goddamn Republicans and whoever it was that wrote that trash at the Washington Post deserves to have a furious woman about a centimeter away from his nose screaming at the top of their lungs to make sure that they never do this again. assuming that that would even help, that they're even capable of learning. And that claim that she didn't need to leave Ohio? If you even vaguely loved your child, would you take even the slightest risk? That your child would be tormented, as these Republicans have more than adequately proven they are plenty willing to do? Yeah, I know. And no matter what Dave Yost says, because, well, he's a liar, when Mike DeWino signed the Ohio abortion law, there was no exception for rape or incest. Period. End of sentence. None. Zero. Just didn't exist. How do you spell Alabama in the Midwest? You spell it O-H-I-O. And I've got the receipts, y'all. Apparently, Ferg has fired up the Sopwith Camel, and he's buzzing the fabulous Horn Aerodrome. That's nice. So this feels like ugly little Wednesday. Yeah, see, Scott picked up on that. Is today West Virginia Air Show Day at the old Kincaid Aerodrome? I hear something. Oh, yeah, I know. And then, why didn't they can just call the father? Lady B says, what the fuck did I just hear? Seriously?
Yeah, they can call the father, the brother, whatever. I mean, it's actually easy to tell somebody.
Because, see, that's the thing we have to understand. When a kid is 10 years old, there's no, or 9, there's no question of consent. Even the law in Ohio says that a child who is involved in sexual intercourse has been raped. Consent is not a matter for it. There's no issue of consent. We've talked about this before. Third-degree sexual assault is what we call it in West Virginia. Statutory rape is the more antiquated term. And you don't even have to inquire into consent. It just is a rape because the child is incapable of consent by reason of her, what the law calls, disability. That is, and to wit, being a minor. There's nothing to debate. But as shame on you, Robin, says Emilio. Marveline got pregnant at 12. Also, cowbell. Also, I'm going to hell. Well, thank you for the cowbell. And the cowbell's followed by, with laughing emojis, a pineapple, and a frowning devil. The pineapple was a nice touch. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island getting us started this evening. We are now down to 10:35 to go in, for fundraising. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so much. Ron and Raleigh, query, have any of these sumbitches apologized? No. Why am I not surprised? Fuck these soulless bastards.
seems too good for them. You know, once upon a time, we might have, like, ostracized them for a while. Where are all those Republicans hollering and hooting and hollering and barking and grunting about cancel culture when it comes to these fuckers? Why is anyone still giving airtime to Jim Shorts Jordan? Dude looked the other way on little young men being raped by a doctor who admitted doing the rapes. But he still gets invited to dinner. Why? There's just too many of them, isn't there? Aren't there? And it being prayer meeting Wednesday and all, let's check in with Clanny Oakley, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert. She was referred to recently as American Taliban, and she set the record straight with the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells. I'm talking, of course, about racist Bannon.
I was born again at a very young age. I remember that. I was actually 4 years old. I was in Florida, and it was Sister Charlotte. She was giving an altar call message. And
yeah, here's the thing. Most religions will tell you that you don't need. No, Sister Charlotte may have been, well, Sister Charlatan. You know what I mean? Reminds me of the story of how James Dobson, over at Focus on the Family, talked about how his parents were so religious that he felt slain in the spirit and went toddling down the blood red carpet to receive Christ Jesus into his heart at the age of 2. And I always wondered how much shaming you have to do of a child to make them feel dirty enough to be sinful, you know, when they're 2. Same thing for being 4 in Florida with Clanny Oakley here.
Actually 4 years old. I was in Florida. And it was Sister Charlotte. She was giving an altar call message. And she said, come real close. You know, we'll pray and Jesus will live in your heart forever. And I was afraid to go close because Sister Charlotte had a mustache. And I was like,
oh, no. Trans Sister Charlotte? She was a transistor? Because, Jesus loves the little children. You're not Jesus. Get your hands off my kid. Oh, no, I think Sister Charlotte probably had a mustache for a very different reason. But, that must have been in the days before laser hair removal. And I can testify to how painful electrolysis is. I understand, Sister Charlotte. I don't necessarily agree with proselytizing a 4-year-old to make them think that they're so dirty they need to be forgiven.
I don't want to get too close to you, Sister Charlotte. And now, I battle my own mustache, so God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. So don't make fun of women with mustaches, little girls.
You know, unless they're trans. And then, Clanny Oakley will mock them relentlessly and remorselessly. Because, her Christianity has an asterisk. Unless trans, fuck them.
But I had that experience, and I remember just thinking, man, Jesus lives in my heart. He's probably really bored in there. He doesn't have much to do. I wouldn't want to live in someone's heart.
God, she's such a theologian. But I'm wondering, you reckon she plucks or waxes? Come on, she's got dark hair. Laser would be like over in one session, maybe 2 tops. It's not particularly pleasant, but it beats the hell out of electrolysis. Slap on a little numbing cream and go with it. Go at it, Clanny Oakley. It's not like she's working minimum wage at the House of Representatives now, is it? God, these people. You know, the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells is off camera at this point, and I'd just love to see the B-roll on it.
In the next 20 years of my life, I didn't really know what that meant to be saved. And I started going to church, reading my Bible, and I just had this revelation that salvation is for here. It's for now. It's not just a ticket to heaven. There's grace that empowers you, that enables you.
Unless you're dealing with a trans person.
That strengthens you.
Or a gay person.
That the Holy Spirit is your guide.
Does that inform
life.
Your work that you do here? Does that inform your work in Congress?
I think so. I mean, how can you be a Christian and not apply that to your values, to your votes, and the decisions that you're making? You know,
they flip that on you and then say that you're a theocrat. That you're American Taliban. You essentially want all decisions.
Oh, little Adam Kinzinger, isn't he adorable?
And he cries afterwards, right?
Yeah.
He I don't think Kinzinger could handle the 4-year-old. Lauren Boebert.
I don't think so.
Well, you know, that's all clever and shit, but the fact of the matter is people like Clanny Oakley and others like them have motivated people to, well, we had the audio on this program, call his interns and tell them exactly what they wanted to do to Adam Kinzinger and his family and his, you know, daughter who's actually younger than little 4-year-old Clanny Oakley was. Reads her Bible. My old Aunt Edna's left hind foot. But they are who they are. And no, there's, well, maybe Christianity does motivate her. I go back and forth on this one. Sometimes I want to put Christian in quotes, but then I realize they've got Bible verses that they use to justify every scintilla of their hateful, sickening behavior. Don't they? Yeah, Lady B says, air show with the Red Baron pilot, Ferg. He is a ginger, after all. Could be. You got any food trucks out there? When are we going to see the dive bombers? Yeah, the dive bombers are particularly cool. An amazing little piece of World War II technology, the SB-2C Hell Diver, or the Dauntless. Amazing aircraft. Question for Lauren Bobblehead Boebert from Scott in San Diego. Which ventricle? I mean, if Jesus lives in your heart, you'd surely know which effing ventricle. Know it? She can't even spell it.
I would love for them to meet, though.
No, I don't think so. But let's talk about that. It informs your life, obviously. You live your religion.
Mm-hmm.
But answer his things that you're American Taliban, that you're a theocrat.
So I'm certainly not a theocrat. We don't need a state church. You know, that's not what our...
Not working out for England too well, right?
No, it's not. But we do have that freedom of religion, and our country was founded on Judeo-Christian values. When the Denver Post called and said, she's a theocrat, and she doesn't want separation of church and state. There shouldn't be God in any of this. And, you know, it was...
Well, she did say, I'm sick of this separation of church and state stuff. The church needs to tell the government what to do. And I hate to break it to her, and she is a moron, but that's theocracy.
Brought to their attention, well, the Constitution has God all over it. And they said, no, it says we the people, not...
Wait, what? Can we check that again? Because I could have sworn she said the Constitution has God all over it.
There shouldn't be God in any of this. And, you know, it was brought to their attention. Well, the Constitution has God all over it.
Nope. She said it. The word God. You know this. Word God does not appear anywhere in the Constitution of the United States. And even when religion is referred to, it's in a negative fashion insofar as the Constitution speaks of religion in terms of what the government may not do. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's it. And there's no adjective in front of religion. It doesn't say Christian religion. It doesn't say Jewish religion. It doesn't say Muslim religion. And you know what? There were Muslims in the United States in 1787. There was a time when people in this government actually admired certain Muslims. I think about Abraham Lincoln's admiration for Muhammad Al-Qadr and his resistance to French colonial rule in North Africa. Today we would call him, what, a terrorist? Abraham Lincoln called him a hero. Abraham Lincoln called him a freedom fighter. Abraham Lincoln thought of him as a patriot among his own people. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. But you know what? I guess that's kind of antiquated now, isn't it? Because I can't freely exercise what might be my religion. I generally agree with, like, I like the Unitarians. They're a nice lot. They don't ask. There's no creed. You don't have to believe anything in particular. You can be a Unitarian and be an atheist at the same time, as a matter of fact. And Unitarians, most assuredly, don't run around demanding that women be deprived of the right to control the workings of their own body. No. A lot of mainstream Christian religions do. Some Jewish sects, as we have talked about in the past, they don't inveigh against a woman's right to control the workings of her own reproductive system. We have an established religion, but it says Congress. See, there's the out. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. However, our majestic, most puissant, dread sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties aren't the Congress. They're the Supreme Court. And they apparently think they can. They can foist Roman Catholic doctrine on every American woman, regardless of whether she is Catholic or not. And they can call it freedom. God is not all over the Constitution. I don't know what this... I don't know what Clanny Oakley means by that. I think she's just making shit up because, of course, again, she's a liar. But there we are. God is all over the Constitution. This is one of those things that kind of lets you know that... Whatever this government is, and whatever there has been that was good about it, is pretty much doomed, dead. The ship sailed, sunk.
And said she's a theocrat and she doesn't want separation of church and state. There shouldn't be God in any of this. And you know, it was brought to their attention. Well, the Constitution has God all over it. And they said, no, it says we the people, not God, it's about the people. Oh, you mean the same paragraph that says that our inalienable rights come from our Creator, come from God? And so...
Oh, my God! Probably shouldn't have phrased it that way. That's what I thought. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. Sit, liberty, sit. To ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Now, what does she think is in the preamble to the Constitution?
Paragraph that says that our inalienable rights come from our Creator, from God. And so we were found.
Good God. This stupid, I mean, immensely stupid. I mean, stupid. This stupid with a capital stoop creature can't keep the Constitution of the United States, to which she has sworn an oath, separate from the Declaration of Independence, which is a propaganda document, and in no wise, in any sense, any portion of the law of the United States of America. You'll notice crickets from the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells.
Founded on these Judeo-Christian values, and we've just got so far away from that. And then, I mean, Jefferson with his separation of church and state, that's not in the Constitution. That frustrates me so badly. That is not, that's a letter.
She's not wrong. She's not wrong. That part she got right. That's Jefferson's letter to the Danbury Baptists of Danbury, Connecticut, in which he was explaining to the Danbury Baptists that the government of the United States would never infringe upon their rights as Baptists and that they could freely practice their religion. And he said, because the Establishment Clause puts up a wall of separation between the church and the state. He was, in point of fact, interpreting the First Amendment for the Danbury Baptists, who, well, how intelligent they were, we don't really know. Probably considerably more intelligent than your modern-day Baptist. Remember, it was a Baptist minister and a socialist who wrote the original Pledge of Allegiance. Of course, it didn't contain the word God in it either, because Baptists used to be kind of put off by those sorts of public displays of piety. The Bible, subject line, Ron and Raleigh writes, "This is a woman that didn't pass her GED until after she was elected to Congress. Her ability to read the Bible critically is in doubt. To believe that this cobbled-together mishmash of fantasy and fairy tales is the inerrant word of God is just foolish. Creator does not mean Yahweh or Elohim, or whatever name is used in whatever book of the Bible you're reading at the time. The value of pi is not 3. Of course not, Ron. The value of pi is blueberry. There. I said it. Let the holy wars begin. And here we are. Lord, yes. Here we damned well are. Oh, and another thing, just in passing, the Pope at Rome, Frank, has done something remarkable. He has created an advisory panel to vet the qualifications of future nominees to be bishops of Holy Mother Church. Now, they created the commission in such a way that Pope Frank at Rome can completely overlook any of their recommendations. I mean, let's say somebody gets nominated to be a bishop and the commission, including women, who, of course, are still not allowed to be priests or anything. And maybe there'll be some nuns or something. He can completely blow them off. And like, if they say, no, I don't think this guy needs to be a bishop. He's fucked a few too many little boys. And Pope Frank can say, what's the matter with that? He's probably over it by now. And, you know, bishop him up anyway. But when I read that story, it was like, it kind of had a moment of, hold on. I'm still astonished that there are any women out there who would be willing to sit on such a panel. I mean, yay, what a progressive move forward for the church. They're going to let some self-hating women participate in the vetting of men to continue their 2,000-year-long repression of women. My goodness gracious. Such, I don't know, progress. Jeremy in Vermont, taking issue with the value of pie. No, Robin, the value of pie is nothing less than strawberry rhubarb. Oh, you rhubarbians. Rhubarbians at the gate. Rhubarb is so sour. Stringy. It is, in fact, a heresy. Burn the heretic! Go get the sticks. Yeah. So, as I noted, Charlene in Rogues Island, a founding member of the Society of Leans, the sorority of Leans, made sure that we didn't goose egg today, so we're down to 10:35 to go. Let's see, what would it take for us not to have a four-digit fundraising goal for Thorn in the Side Thursday? $336. And in terms of how much we've funded at 10:35, that means we've got $135 to go to finish last week by the middle of this week. If we can raise $135, that means that last week is fully funded. That's huge. Thank you, Charlene. Emilio, rhubarb, die heretic! You beat me to it, Robin. Well, you know, I've had a lot of practice. Let's see, let's run over and check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Robin. I wasn't going to call today because today is lawn day, and you may be able to... I think Ferg is on the line with our lawn guy out here. I think they send notes secretly to one another where he gets inspired out here and says, oh, I know, I'll make noise out here for Cousin Scott and fuck up the call, which doesn't take much when it's me on the other end here. But, yeah. But I want to thank you. I have to take medicines every day, and I had all of my morning pills in my mouth getting ready to bring my liquid up to my lips to swill some and do my little swallow deal. And today it happened. The timing was impeccable. It happened at the precise moment that Lauren uttered the immortal phrase, Sister Charlotte had a mustache. Have you ever had a high blood pressure pill go through your nose, Robin?
No, honestly, I haven't. But what makes me think we're going to find out what it feels like?
Oh, it's a delight. I want you to know. No, it didn't actually do that, but I swear it took all the willpower that I could muster to complete the swallow, as it were, and get that stuff down before I burst out laughing. So thank you, Robin. Thank you, Lauren. And thank you, Sister Charlotte. And we'll give you a lifetime supply of Nair if it suits your purposes.
Yeah, Sister Charlotte of the Immaculate Handlebar.
We're going to sign you up for a barber.
Sam Neill goes to bed weeping every night.
Barbershop.
I mean, Sam, no, not Sam Neill. You know.
No, I don't know.
It's Sam Waterson?
Was in a barbershop quartet?
No. The actor.
Oh. No, the only barbershop quartet that I'm familiar with was the one in The Music Man.
No, not Sam Waterson either, damn it.
Sam Neill? Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs?
No.
Sam Walton?
And his mustache.
Oh.
I watched him for a week in 1883, and I just, God damn it.
In 1883?
The show was called 1883. You're not helping.
God damn, I didn't know they had television in 1883.
I'm still not over that. That was just a beautiful, beautiful show. Sam Elliott, damn it. Sam Elliott. Sam Watterson, Sam Neill, Samuel Elliott Morrison.
All you have to do
Sam Elliott.
Resonant voice. Isn't he the one that's got the, he's got a special little cart that goes between his legs on the ground that pulls along his,
you know, yeah, then that he carries in a wheelbarrow. Right. Yeah.
Meat. It's what's for dinner.
Aaron Copeland. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, I didn't sleep through sociology class or whatever. Humanities class. I'm sorry.
Roundup or rodeo or something. Yeah. I think it was rodeo.
Yeah. Three balls for a quarter, my boy. We'll dunk the rodeo clown. Jesus. Meat. I can't do it. I don't have it's an irony of ironies that you've, even with all the hormones you got running through your system, you've got a deeper voice than I do. I never was blessed.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's the trouble with the hormones. They don't do a damn thing to a fully formed masculine voice.
A little helium.
You have to go through lots and lots and lots of speech therapy. And I'm still at it. Getting there, getting better, not there yet.
I think that I will never see a thing as lovely as a tree. Spuds McKenzie said that on this day. Jesus. The lawn man comes on the hot days, too, because I can't have the windows and the doors open if I'm sitting here trying to have a conversation with you, running his little weed eater or whatever. There's not even a lawn. Really, when it comes right down to it, not near my unit, it's mostly dust and droppings from the palm tree out front. I didn't call it a complaint.
Well, this isn't the complaint line, so that's a good thing.
I was wondering, as you were talking about, and I've only been there a couple of times back when I lived out that way, but when you were talking about the goings-on in Columbus, and that poor little girl who is, you know, insult has truly been added to injury here, wouldn't you say? But Columbus, I'm thinking, well, who do I know of in Columbus? I guess old the Rod Parsley's big old tax-free church and rip-off palace. I guess their Sunday school bus ministry doesn't go to the kid's neighborhood who's the accused assailant, because he might have learned him something better than to, you know, badger and abuse a poor child. Let's get on the line and call Brother Parsley, the person in charge of the bus ministry, and see if we can't get the route changed. See, they'll take the fucking grift and the tax advantages, but as far as applying any of those to the betterment of the people they say they serve, well, that's another matter, Robin. That's something else altogether different, don't you think?
Well, I think you're probably right.
I was trying to explain to one of my friends on Facebook who was going on and on about religious zealots. I said the first thing to do on that is to totally eliminate each and every one of the tax advantages and cutaways that they get, and let them support the country like everybody else does. And I haven't, that was last night, and I haven't fired up Facebook, so I don't know what his response was, but hopefully it was intelligible. But I'm telling you, it's maddening. And I have a theory. I have a theory. And this is not to question your editorial, you know, position there on the program. But since fundraising seems to be a heavy lift, could the people possibly be so depressed?
No, I think it's very much a matter of economics.
Really?
Yeah. On average, in June, the average American family had to spend $500 extra to keep up with inflation in terms of fuel and food prices and everything else that is subject to inflation.
Yeah, but it seems like the problem preceded that.
I think there's a viable explanation for that too, Scott, and that is we've moved into perpetual political season.
Oh, I know.
It used to only be bad during midterm years and really bad during presidential election years. Now it's just always bad because the politicians are always putting their hands up.
No, it's unrelenting. They never stop running. At least we would get a little respite. Not that it went away entirely, what with the media situation being what it is. But yeah, you're right. And see, because I worry about, that worry is not the right word. It concerns me that you know, it's such a heavy lift. And that's got to put some sort of psychic strain on you and the rest of the Horn family who would like to do more, but are up against it. And that, it just troubles me.
Well, I thank you for that, because it is... it's troubling, and it does. It stresses the hell out of me, because every day it's like, what bill can I pay? What bill can I pay? What bill? Because that's all we do. I mean, there's not a lot of, you know, living the high life going on. Not that I'm particularly keen on that, but I am keen to keep up with my transition and things like that. And I keep waiting to see when I'm going to have enough to, because, you know, I've talked about this estrogen shortage out there, probably brought on by, you know, women like me. And I'm going to have to start ordering it from a compounding pharmacy in Houston. And you have to order it either 2 or 3 months at a time, which means, I mean, you're talking about a heavy lift. I mean, you're talking about, you know, north of $300. So, yeah. And it is. It stresses me the hell out. And there's, you know, I was joking about electrolysis earlier. I need to get back to that, but there's no money for that either.
Well, what can be done?
I don't know. I mean, we kind of talked about this. I've mentioned the fact that I would love for everybody to be able to. Everybody who's able to come to the Horn Inn 2, which I will be much better at this time through. And if I had enough advance warning, I could go ahead and do the booking and have a kitchen to cook in and all of that stuff and just really, really have a good time. We had a great time with the folks who showed up last time. And I think everyone agrees it was an absolute blast.
Well, if the Horn Inn...
But the short answer is if I could put that together, then among other things, I could have access to health insurance. That would be the goal. Would be to pay for health insurance, because I lost my health insurance when the premium went to over $1,700 a month.
Yeah, see, I don't get that. I don't understand how that works entirely.
Well, my personal theory is that they were aggrieved by the fact that I got some very expensive surgery, and they covered it, not without a fight, but they covered it, and so they wanted to recoup their losses. It's kind of like when you cause a when you T-bone a Maserati, the repair costs alone are sufficient to make sure that your insurance coverage, or your insurance company, jacks your rates through the roof to cover what they had to lay out.
But isn't that a result of, in terms of your health insurance, you used a phrase that strikes me as rather odd in the conversation. They had to recoup their costs.
That's how they get to be insurance companies. They don't become insurance companies by paying money out. They become fabulously wealthy insurance companies by taking money in.
Well, confirm or deny this. You're making it sound like they're a profit-generating organization, not a health.
I'll be damned. How about that?
What the hell, Robin? Now stop that. I'll get Sister Charlotte after you. I'll bet you Sister Charlotte, when you got up close to her, had vanilla flavoring on her breath. You see that in the Baptist church. That's the only way you could sneak a snort. It's with a little bit of that liquid. You find it on the bakery aisle, Robin. And don't get that artificially flavored vanilla flavor.
Now, don't you be gooning on that, because I tell you what, that artificial butter and nut flavoring that looks like it's red in the bottle, but it's actually gold when you pour it out, that is some fabulous. That's some fabulous chemistry there, and it makes the best butter and nut cake you've ever eaten in your life.
This is all I hear from you: butter and nut, butter and nut. I just stop it. I don't want to think about butter or nuts. Thank you.
Oh, it's heavenly.
We'll leave it to the squirrels. That reminds me, I didn't put their nuts out there this morning. What's wrong with me, Robin? I'm slipping on the job, sleeping on the job or something. Let me tell you something. You were talking about, what year is it, 1873, 1833?
83.
See, this is why I don't watch it. I don't know what to punch into the search engine, okay? And I don't have the channel besides Hulu or Paramount. Which one? It's one of them, I think. Hello?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oh, okay, well, see. You talk about great television. You know about the late May, early June, Better Call Saul went away until this past Monday. And now we launched the first of the final six episodes of the series this past Monday. I am telling you, rarely have I seen television. And it's so tempting to hint at what happened, but I can't even do that. I mean, it just grabbed me by the throat is what it did. The last episode in the first half of the season back in early June or late May, and then this past Monday. Have you ever been speechless after watching something, either a movie or something on TV?
It's been known to happen, yeah.
Yeah.
We watched several episodes of Gaslit last night after I realized that Julia Roberts had been snubbed in the Emmy nominations for her portrayal of Martha Mitchell. And we were kind of gobsmacked along. I mean, I remembered most of it. I was a kid. And some of it I read in the histories, but Jesus. You know, John Mitchell tanking his own wife's testimony?
Yeah. Yeah, I had somehow forgotten about that. See, the
And
the
I also stuff, forgot about the fact that she died in what, 1977?
No, maybe thereabouts. Yeah. Cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that show ought to win something.
Oh, and by the way, we were talking about insurance a minute ago and recouping. Jeremy in Vermont points out, Blue Cross Blue Shield didn't like the year I used my insurance plan the way it was intended. And the next year, when it was time to re-up, they raised the premium by $500 a month, I shit you not.
See, and this is even with what is laughingly referred to as affordable health care coverage. Or is that not part of
it? No, it is.
Well, somebody's got to look up the word affordable, Robin.
Well, and that's that, you know, that's up there with the other dodge. Access to health care. Access to health care is not the same thing as health care.
No, there can be a building down the block where.
But if you can't afford to walk in it, well, you've got access, you just don't have it.
Yeah.
Oh, and thank you to Frank. Thank you, Frank. We are now down to, ta-da, we are down to $1,010. We are $110 away from fully funded for last week. And it would be great if we could get Friday funded and maybe a little bit of Monday. That would be fantastic. So thank you, Frank. Thank you so very much.
Have you thought about tote bags or bake sales?
Yeah, right. It's a messenger bag, just like the one that, just like the one that John Muir carried into Hetch Hetchy. Only your messenger bag you'll receive was unlike John Muir's messenger bag that he carried into Hetch Hetchy. It was made and sewed and put together and glued and bolted and folded and stapled and mutilated and riveted by a 10-year-old kid chained to a table in Guangdong Free Trade Province, China.
Yes, but it's got a music box mechanism in it that when you open it, it plays a little tune.
California, here I come. Yes. Hey, you do a great imitation of a trombone with a mute on it. By the way, yeah. Ron and Raleigh reminded us, in case you didn't know, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert's restaurant has been shut down. Her landlord refused to renew her lease. Maybe she'll go back to escorting.
Yeah, I heard that the other day. Now, is there more, or is there a rest of the story to that? I mean, she was working her way through school. What is the deal? This isn't to say that people who...
Well, they've said it, and that means they've probably got the goods, and they're waiting. Right now, they're in the process of feeding her rope.
Oh, yeah.
And once she's denied it a sufficient number of times, they'll lay all the proof out, and we'll all see exactly. Yeah. By no means casting aspersions on sex workers.
No, that's what I was going to say.
I'm not for
it. Yeah. Just don't be a hypocrite about it.
Precisely. You
know? But talking about cinching up enough rope. Are you ready for what is it, next Tuesday or next Thursday, the final in the current installment or current episodes of the January 6th panel? They have been laying traps all over the place.
Oh, it's nothing. It's nothing but a yard full of rakes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Whack.
Very good.
Whack. Whack.
Give yourself a cowbell or a cowboy if your case runs.
Cowboy could be nice.
Cowboy with a rake. Get ready. Freaking leaves everywhere. But yeah, I mean, it
should be a doozy too, especially with the tune in next week teaser that Liz Cheney gave us.
Oh yeah, yeah, and Jamie Raskin didn't do half bad with his little statement there toward the end. I'm telling you, I actually welled up a little bit, Robin, because
I have so much respect for Jamie Raskin.
I do, too. And that's what I mean. Somebody who can lay it on the line and just come right out and say it loud and proud, okay? And not in a fantastic sort of way or in a we-got-you sort of way, but just simply stating the case as it is sort of way. I'm telling you, I wasn't quite as impressed back then as I am now. But now that I've seen what craftsman-like work they're doing and got their facts lined up and their audio and their video and their particulars, and they're bringing it, I'm telling you, I may write to somebody back there and just tell them, maybe the chairman or Ms. Cheney, and just say, as an American who remembers the last time we really did something like this, which for my generation was Watergate, I have to compliment you on the job that you did and thank you for holding them to the fire. I really watching Congressperson Raskin the other night, I was touched. You know how you sometimes get touched? And it's
people tell me I'm touched in the head all the time.
No, I don't mean that.
I know.
I mean where somebody is just so eloquent and straightforward and honest that they make a presentation to you that it's involuntary. Something touches your heart and your spirit and wherever your patriotism lives. I mean, good, decent, honest American patriotism like we used to have. you know, in the red, white, blue Dixie cups, there are a little sidewalk lemonade stand back when I was a kid. You know, and it just touched me, and I welled up. And that, it takes a bit for me to get weepy. I didn't, like, head in my hands and weep. But, I mean, it just moved me that there are people in this country who still think that being honest and open and straightforward and fact-based still means something and can work in our favor ultimately. I mean, I don't want to come off all cosmic and poetic, but it's just, and I don't know what the viewership has been, but if people have been paying attention, we may have half a fucking chance. Sorry, I'm bogarting the conversation. I just...
Oh, no, you're fine. I did want to bring something to the fore, though, because I know you'll enjoy it immensely. I had a note from our pal Joy in Ann Arbor, this being prayer meeting Wednesday.
Hi, Joy.
Hey, Joy. Bart Kopp was right. Every time. Old Jesse Lee. You remember Jesse Lee, right?
Oh, yeah. Whatever happened to old Jesse?
Well, apparently a lot of things happened to old Jesse. And what Joy was referring to in saying Bart Kopp was right, that may his soul rest in bliss wherever or nowhere. It was Bart Kopp who coined the phrase, you know, he's just one of those Christians that's going to be caught with a man in his mouth. Well, Bart was right.
Oh my!
The article comes from the Daily Beast, and a reporter named Will Summer. And Jesse Lee is big in something called the manosphere. Ever heard of the manosphere?
Isn't that where they're all just overly impressed with their gender?
Yeah, and they feel put upon. They feel like women are taking away all the men, making and feminizing the men.
And women haven't even begun to take away.
Yeah, and women are ruining life for men. And there's a subgroup called MGTOW, men going their own way.
Oh, bite me, not you, but
that was cute though.
No,
oh, bite me.
I'm just.
Men going their own way. The incels are part of the manosphere. They are radical masculinists.
Whenever I hear incels, I think of the Ramsey Lewis Jr. tune, The In Crowd. Somebody needs to do a parody song called the Incels.
Well, the problem with doing that, though, is that the incels every now and then grab up an AR-15 and go slaughter a bunch of women.
I'm down with the incels.
No.
Go ahead.
Don't go down on the incels. Now, see, you've got me started. Now, Jesse Lee, among other things, has at one point in time argued that. How did this work?
He was dropping breadcrumbs for a long time there. I mean,
the entire loaves. But he said that. but if he said that if a woman is having sex with a man, and she orgasms during the act, that she is becoming a man. Interesting silence there for this prayer meeting Wednesday. But
I am so happy that I didn't have coffee in my mouth when you said
that. That would have followed your blood pressure medicine right out your nose.
Good God! Say that again. About what?
If a woman orgasms during sex, she is becoming a man, and Jesse Lee Peterson, of course, frowns upon this. He's notoriously anti-gay. He says that anybody who marches in a pride parade is a child of Satan. And now now some people who know Jesse Lee rather intimately point out that, well, maybe he's not gay. He's like Roy Cohn and just likes to have sex with men.
Yeah. Been down to the candy carnival for them massive peppermint sticks.
Eh? There's a guy named Patrick Rooney who was interviewed by the Daily Beast, and he said, I'm very sorry to have Jesse's situation damage the conservative movement.
Now's the situation.
But there's a problem with the manosphere, and that is that they keep on getting caught in the man. And, you know, they call themselves the manosphere, so who's really that surprised? But a bunch of members of the manosphere in the last year or so have gotten caught...
With men?
With men. there was a guy who went by the alias of Jack Murphy. He filmed himself in what the Daily Beast calls an outlandish series of online porn videos, and his one-time allies turned on him. Then there was another manosphere influencer who murdered five people in a Denver rampage before being shot by the police. Romanian law enforcement raided the home of a prominent British manosphere figure as part of a human trafficking investigation. And then there's an outfit called Church Militant. And Church Militant is a radical right-wing Catholic website. Among other things, they used to platform Milo Yiannopoulos, the gay guy who says he's been cured of all that gayness now. But the Church Militant reporter interviewed a couple of guys. Rooney was one of them. Rooney was on TV and online shows with Peterson for decades. Of Rooney, Peterson once said, one of the smartest white men this side of heaven. Because God is, of course, white. Peterson said that, too. Jesse Lee has. And Rooney says that Jesse Lee... The Daily Beast article says sexually approached him. I don't exactly know what that means.
Tom Hithered him?
But he said that Peterson sexually approached him in 2005. Next thing you know, he's ripping his clothes off. And they had a 10-year sexual relationship. And eventually Rooney, who was married to a woman, broke it off. I think that was an unfortunate. Piece of terminology.
A 10-year relationship. There goes the experimentation.
The experimentation defense is out the window now.
Sell your lab coats, boys, because you ain't experimenting.
No, I think the test tubes are all broken at that point.
Oh, everything's been swept off the table. Are you kidding me? Jesus.
And then there's Robert Santner. Robert Santner is the former manager of the Bond House. Bond is the name of Jesse Lee's little cult.
Bondage?
Well, you're on your game tonight. Santner said that he walked in on Jesse Lee being... You know, I don't know how you, this words, the word suspicious in this sentence is carrying a lot of weight. He witnessed Peterson acting physically affectionate towards men in ways that he deemed suspicious, including one bizarre incident with Peterson and another man. He said he walked in on, wait. Oh, y'all. Where else is this story going to get this kind of traffic?
I'm conjuring up visions in my
head. Oh, wait. Now, bizarre incident. There's a description.
Oh, boy.
According to Santner, he walked in on the pair as the unnamed man was wrapped up in a blanket like a burrito while Peterson hugged him and kissed his forehead.
Oh, baby.
And Peterson once confronted Santner while he was... massaging his own genitals before smiling at him and walking away. I'll bet he did smile.
surrounded by two dozen guys in full leathers singing Buffalo Gal, Won't You Come Out Tonight?
And you know what this reminded?
But that is the moon.
but of course, what this reminds me of is, of course, the famous Ernest Angley tapes.
Oh God!
From hey, years baby. Past.
Hey, you're, baby.
Said baby, baby. But he got caught with a man in it. He got caught with a man in his mouth too. Ernest Angley did. And there were actual recordings of the conversation between where he confessed it, and he said, and I'm going to do my best Ernest Angley here, it doesn't count because I never came. I never came. Huh. Say baby. Say baby. Baby. I never came.
Oh, baby. Ay, ay, ay. It's too late for this year, but I think all of these people should be rounded up and invited to a Pride event next summer, and let them just see what.
Well, but the fact of the matter is, the likes of a Jesse Lee could probably shock the. Well, I mean, the decent family values of a perfectly normal gay couple. This guy's a freak.
Well, in that case, don't take him to Pride. Take him to Newbie Night at the Mine Shaft. Is the Mine Shaft still in New York? That'll open up his eyes.
Newbie Night at the Ooh, that one hurt a little bit.
I'm sorry.
Just kind of hard. By the way, you've been cowbell for Scott. Jesus, you two.
What did I do?
Lady B says, wait, women who orgasm are men? Hell, some of us think they're just lucky. Cowbell for Lady B.
That's right.
Ellen Billable Rick catching us. Sister Charlotte's mustache cowbell. A while back in the show, you referred to Sister Charlotte, who has a mustache, being a trans sister. Did anyone nominate you for a cowbell in that comment? Give yourself one. Yes, I will. Thank you. Thank God somebody here is paying attention. Wow, that's we're going to need some help from the New York City contingent of the Horn Family Community Congregation. Lee, that might be you. You stay pretty well up on things. Lady B said, can anybody on the East Coast confirm this? The headline from ABC Eyewitness Team Coverage Action News Channel 7.
With matching blazers.
Yeah, absolutely.
With a little patch.
The headline reads, PSA on nuclear attack leaves New York City residents worried, baffled. Many New Yorkers were left asking, why now? The Dateline New York. New York City residents are accustomed to warnings about all kinds of potential threats, severe weather, public health, mass shootings, but a new PSA surviving a nuclear attack has rattled some cages. Released this week by the city's emergency management agency, the 90-second video advises citizens to stay indoors and wash off any radioactive dust or ash. It opens on a computer-generated street devoid of life. Damaged skyscrapers can be seen in the background. Do New Yorkers really need this level of trauma? So here we go. This is, in fact, weird. Stand by. Got the right button.
So there's been a nuclear attack. Don't ask me how or why, just know that the big one has hit, okay? So what do we do? There are three important steps that I want you to remember. Step one, get inside fast. You, your friends, your family, get inside. And no, staying in the car is not an option. You need to get into a building and move away from the windows. Step two. stay inside. Shut all doors and windows. Have a basement? Head there. If you don't have one, get as far into the middle of the building as possible. If you were outside after the blast, get clean immediately. Remove and bag all outer clothing to keep radioactive dust or ash away from your body. Step 3. Stay tuned. Follow media for more information. Don't forget to sign up for Notify NYC for official alerts and updates. And don't go outside until officials say it's safe. All right? You've got this.
Now, who presented that, Robin?
That's the Emergency Management Agency of the City of New York. And Emilio has a good question. Do I still duck and cover? And my question was more along the lines of, or it's a statement, always, apparently now, always wear your schmooties when you go out in New York because you're going to have to come back inside and you're going to have to burn them or throw them away or something. You don't want to throw away anything nice or expensive or save that for getting dressed up while you're living inside the building for the rest of your natural-born days.
And this is running...
Which may not be very long.
This is running on New York television?
It was released on the New York City Emergency Management Agency website. We know that. Apparently it has run in broadcast to one degree or another. Because Jeremy says, yes, it happened. My local news covered it. This is probably after Russia threatened us yet again with a nuclear strike due to our involvement in Ukraine and our country seeking to charge Russians with war crimes. I don't know.
I don't think it helps.
And Mayor Eric Adams, who is not Douglas Adams, well, Christina Farrell is the Emergency Management Deputy Commissioner of New York. And she said that there's no specific threats tied to it. They felt like New Yorkers just kind of needed the information. It's about raising... There's no overarching reason why this is the time we sent this out. It's just one tool in the toolbox to be prepared in the 21st century. People have thanked us that we're approaching this topic. I don't know if there's ever the perfect moment to talk about nuclear preparedness.
Well, it's just that...
And Mayor Eric Adams said, I'm a big believer in better safe than sorry.
I couldn't tell, as the presentation was rolling, whether the woman was talking about stuff to do before or stuff to do after. I mean, some of it was obviously after.
No, the whole thing was after, because she begins, the script begins with... You know, this is the time and place statement.
So there's been a nuclear attack.
So there has been a nuclear attack.
Don't ask me how or why. Just know that the big one has hit. Okay.
Don't ask me how or why. Just know that the big one has hit.
Maybe it's me, you know, because I know a little bit about copywriting. But it seems rather optimistic, if I can use that phrase.
To think that there's going to be a not screaming person walking down the street after the big one has hit. Is that where you're going with this?
Yeah, kinda. That there's even going to be an after, if you're talking about the largest commercial and banking and media center of the America's landscape. They're not going to leave much behind, recognizable behind, you know?
I would think not.
And we're not talking about 1945 Nagasaki and Hiroshima devices.
No, we're talking about big ones.
Where there was some level of survivability, until you died anyway, okay? We're talking about thermonuclear devices, state-of-the-art and up-to-date. And I just don't see the prospect of an after at Ground Zero or anywhere near it.
Well, I'm not inclined to argue with you.
So what's the response been to this?
A lot of people going, what the fuck? Why now? What do you know that we don't know? I mean, like I said, I think you need to handle this with a little bit more panache if we're talking about new... Because this is still the... I mean, granted, we are more than 20 years past, but this is still the post-9/11 world.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of flummoxed.
I just don't, you know... There are visuals, too, so obviously there was visuals going along with these...
Mainly it's just this spokesperson. She's dressed all in black. There's an initial video that shows a New York City street scene, only there's no cars and no people, so I'm not really sure who she's talking to. But then we go through the whole go inside part, and then there... And it's all green screened, okay?
Yeah.
And I don't fully understand the purpose.
It's been what, a couple of weeks since Putin saber rattled in terms of a veiled threat about sending us a message. Maybe they heard that and said, well, it's part of our job to let people know what to do just in case, but there's nothing left to do. Once those fuckers have launched, you know, and especially if they're in the Atlantic somewhere from a submarine, they don't have to come over the poles that way. It's a shorter delivery time. And this is not an onion thing. This is a real deal.
No, this is real. Yeah.
Jesus, I don't know what to say. I mean.
Right. As Emilio says, so your brain is melting. Here's what to do if you can still understand me.
Yes. No, I'm going to repeat that again for those of you.
Listen carefully while your ears melt off.
Yeah. Jesus.
I mean. What do you say? You know, New Yorkers are pretty intelligent, practical people, but they also live in the largest city in the United States, and it's a very jam-packed, little, tiny, compact area.
And they're tightly wound, a lot of them.
And you'll notice she said, don't stay in your car. And I thought, well, of course you don't stay in your car, because that just means that Godzilla's going to stomp you. And Lady V says, I'm surrounded by 5 military bases, including Shriver and NORAD. In school, they should have just taught us how to place our heads between our legs and kiss our little asses goodbye.
There you go. There you go, Lady V.
Well, you know, I was talking about this back when Uvalde went down. We had three kind of drills when I was in elementary school and high school, for that matter. We had fire drills. And we had nuclear attack drills, and we had tornado drills.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the school was brick, so we weren't too worked up about the fire drills, but everybody got to go outside and mill around in the parking lot and, you know, kick gravel on the parking lot and whatnot, and so we didn't mind that too much. And I think even as children, we knew that the survivability of a nuclear blast was something approaching zero. The one that we took deadly serious, though, was the tornado drill. Because they would tell us when they were going to do those and say, and we're going to practice what we're going to do, because those things happened in real time and we damned well knew it. You know, you're at school, you look out the window, the sky has turned the color of a really bad bruise. It's somewhere between purple and green and yellow.
And the air does weird things.
The air does weird things, and the birds say, fuck it, shut up and go to ground. And then the siren goes off.
And if you live close enough, you've seen the aftermath And you know that that is a real thing that happens from time to time. But this is something else entirely. This is, shit, as bad as 9/11 was, this is 9/11 multiplied, and you can figure out your own multiple. This is the end, is what this is.
Yeah. Well, now you've got HBO. Did you ever watch Station 11?
What's that about? I don't think I did.
Put it on your list. It is, it's a love it or hate it kind of thing. I loved it. Joy in Ann Arbor loved it. It was out as like a graphic novel since like 2011, and I guess they just decided to make it into a limited run series when the pandemic hit, because the prime mover, the motivating factor in Station 11 is that an especially virulent virus has just about wiped out everybody on Earth. And it goes, the frame of the time sequence goes back and forth, past to future, whatever, present. And it is truly apocalyptic, but it manages to be about the triumph of the human spirit. And it's really good.
All right, I'll put that on my list.
And it starts with a little 9-year-old girl. And she grows up, and she's one of the survivors. And you laugh, you cry, you're stunned by the enormity of it all. And this feels a little bit like that, because when the apocalypse hits, it largely centers on Chicago. And a little girl who can't get home to her parents, and you see these two people who are trying to make sure that the little girl survives, and then hopefully they survive too. We've had a pandemic, and now we're talking nuclear. Somewhere in the bowels of the administrative bureaucracy of the city of New York, there's somebody who said, you know, this would be a great time to scare the shit out of people over a nuclear attack. Yeah, we've kind of calmed down from the pandemic. Let's terrify the fuck out of them with some radiation.
And really, when it comes down to it, unless I wasn't watching when it was on, the only thing that the mass audience in this country has ever seen that remotely deals even remotely on nuclear holocaust coming to your region is the ABC film The Day After, and that was, what, 82, 84, something like that?
Yeah, and do you remember the conniption that people had over it? I mean, there were, like, focus group documentaries on how to watch The Day After with your children. Remember that?
There was an hour-long Nightline where they had people talking about it with Ted Koppel. Yes, they were telling us something, trying to, anyway. But the only thing that most people, for those who even remember The Day After, that's the last time it was a topic of national conversation.
Oh, and do you remember that the Reagan administration was pissed right off?
Well, that too, yes. Yes. And
clearly the communists today.
Well, Mommy, the commies at ABC have decided to try to undermine my glorious administration with what was I talking about, huh?
Well, yeah. At the time, this was in, I guess, 84, The Day After, and I was doing weekends in Kansas City, because it takes place in the Kansas City area, and also Lawrence, Kansas, which is like an hour's drive away, okay? And the missiles are flying and people are dying. And I was doing weekends at the station, but I was also producing the morning show Monday through Friday. And we were sitting there with looks on our faces like, do you believe what we saw last night based in our own home area? And then the sister station up in Seattle wanted to call in their morning crew to do a bit about it with the Kansas City crew, who were still pretty much traumatized by what they had seen.
Yeah. Because if you're taking it seriously, it was kind of traumatic. Hey, I need to send a thank you out to Ralphs. Thank you, Ralphs. We have now fully funded last week, and we are $10 into last Monday now. So we've got we are at $990 to go. And if we could, let's see, if we could do 291, we would not have a $1,000 fundraising goal for Thorn in the Side Thursday. Oh, and by the way, going back to Jesse Lee for just a second, Brother Deacon Asa says, regarding caught with a man in his mouth, remember not too long ago when that infamously homophobic Viktor Orban cabinet minister, Hungary, was arrested by Brussels police trying to flee from a 25-man orgy? Yeah, there was that one too, wasn't there?
Trying to flee?
Yeah, Brazilian police raided a 25-man drunken orgy, and they caught one of Viktor Orban's ministers trying to... he came out through the bathroom window, fell down from the second floor. No singing, damn it.
Yeah, well, they were fleeing the raid. They stayed for the orgy.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I got this one for you. The Florida primary is, I think, August the 23rd. And thank you, Emilio. We are now down to 987 to go. Thanks, Emilio. The Florida primary is August the 23rd, and one of the people running for re-election is Senator Kelly Stargell. Now, she represents District 22 in the Florida State Senate, and she is from roughly Lakeland, Florida, and she's a homophobe and a transphobe and a bigot and a racist. And well, she's not, I made a mistake, she is not running for re-election to her old seat. She's now gotten ambitious, and she's going to run for Congress. She announced her campaign back in May, because, you know, she's gotten a little bit of notoriety for her hatefulness, which is, it's always big with the maggots. Well, she's got a 28-year-old daughter named Hannah. And when her mother announced her candidacy, Hannah had a little bit to say.
So, Senator Kelly Stargell of Florida, the one who just passed the 15-week abortion bill for the state of Florida, which excludes incest and rape, is now running for Congress. This is the same senator who passed the bill saying that trans middle schoolers and high schoolers will have a harder time to play sports in the state of Florida than even in the Olympics. Considering the fact that Kelly Stargell is my mother and sent me to a troubled teen facility whenever I was only 15, I don't think that she really has a right to tell you or anybody else who can and can't be a mother, because she wasn't even a mother to her own children. This is the same woman who wouldn't feed me if I didn't go to church on Sunday, after numerous years of telling me I was hard to love, putting me through tons of years of neglect, putting politics before everything else, and honestly, just being a horrible, horrible person to look up to. Is this really somebody you want up in D.C. passing laws for you and your children, telling you what to do with your body? If I can do anything in my power to make sure that Kelly Stargell does not become the congresswoman for Florida, that would be awesome. So follow me if you would like to see more stories and more reasons why not to vote for Kelly Stargell, and why we really, really need to get some better people in our freaking political system in Florida.
I think she was pretty clear, don't you?
Well, obviously, Robin, that girl's got the spirit of Jezebel in her.
She's got the Jezebel spirit. I think Jesse Lee Peterson warned us about the Jezebel spirit once upon a time.
Maybe that is the tactic that we need to adopt. Get the Republican kids who have been mistreated on the ultimate local level in the fucking family, get them to make anti-mom or dad ads. I think she's on the right track there, Robin.
Well, look at what Kellyanne Conway's 15-year-old daughter said about her mama. Or look what Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America's daughter, said about her daddy.
And one guy's own brother or brother-in-law and sister, one way or another.
That's Paul Gosar, the demon dentist of the desert, said, for God's sakes, don't vote for him.
Yeah. Sometimes your family, your right-thinking family, it can be your best ally or your worst enemy, depending on what your designation is and what office you're running for and what your record is. I mean, come on. Who knows better than your family? Jeez.
Well, for anybody who wants to go and find that clip on Instagram, her handle on Instagram is tattooed_Stargell, Stargel, tattooed_Stargell.
I take it she no longer lives with her mom.
No, she's 28.
Good for her, god damn it.
And she got away from the human horror that is her mother.
I'm going to look up whoever she's running against and send them a couple of bucks, I think.
And there was another.
So, I just woke up and.
She mentioned in the video that.
I just woke up and did not expect it to happen.
I missed that.
She mentioned that her mother would not feed her on Sundays.
Oh yeah, because.
If she didn't go to church, and she elaborated on what she was talking about in that regard. I mean, this woman is a genuine monster. Not Hannah Stargell, her mama.
Yeah.
Kelly.
I just woke up and did not expect to have this many followers today. But this was actually something I wanted to clarify on because my siblings kind of jumped on me for saying that. So in my family, after church, we would all go out to eat. My family did not stock the house. My parents were always in Tallahassee, both of them for the most part. My dad was representative. My mom was later representative and senator. But my parents went to a church that I was really bullied at. I didn't really feel like that was a safe place for me to go. And I also was not like really a Christian. And the way that they would... The trade-off was they would all go out to eat and go eat. But we ate out all the time. Like, that was mainly how we ate. We did not have the house really stocked. There wasn't really a lot of other options. So a lot of it was more emotional. I was not, like, legit starving. It was mainly just for that day. I would wake up in the morning. There wasn't really food. They would all go to church. I would kind of have to, like, scramble for something multiple times. And it really was more of an emotional thing, and how, like, my siblings would get to go out, everybody would get to go out, everybody would do that, and I was forced to stay at home. Not forced. I chose to stay at home because I didn't feel like that was a place that was for me, and I didn't really feel heard in that, and then I was honestly more punished for that. It was hard as a kid not being able to have another option. Like, my really only option was to stay at the house or go to church. And I didn't really know how to cook a lot of food. I didn't really know what to do. So I honestly said this because I've said it in therapy a million times. And I probably shouldn't have said that on that video, but I really did not expect it to go viral. And honestly, it was legit. If I didn't go to church, they wouldn't feed me. That really was the trade-off. And it really did suck. Like, I honestly remember crying about it. Like, it was just not something that I was really cool with. But I was really a kid, so that wasn't really for me to say at the time.
What an awesome mom. Clearly a case of some genuine Christian family values for this prayer meeting Wednesday.
I mean, and she didn't she refer to her as a monster?
I do believe so, yes.
And now voters in that district, mom wants to come monstering in your house.
Right.
You know? Well, good for her. I have nothing but admiration for people who, A, survive that type of treatment, and then, B, can work up the fortitude and the courage to take a stand and say, no, no more, enough, and warn people off. I mean, if it's a rainy night and down the road 500 feet is the bridge, which has been washed out, you want someone on this side of it waving their arms and screaming at the top of their lungs, stop, stop, danger ahead. So good for her.
Well, I hope she can. I hope she can help to torpedo her mother's candidacy. Of course, I don't know what they've got for a Democratic challenger in that district. Maybe I should look and try to find out.
Whoever it is has got to be better. I mean, one would hope. Because we certainly don't need another Republican.
Well, but the thing is the candidate viable? You know, in so many cases in these Confederate states, and by the way, she's 3 years younger than me. But in so many places in these Confederate states and other non-Confederate states, it's been gerrymandered so thoroughly maggot that a Democrat doesn't have a chance. It's like when I was talking about Glenn Grothman at the beginning of the program. There's not a Democratic challenger on the ballot against him, so he's just automatically going to be reelected.
Where is he again?
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And she's running in the Florida 15th Congressional District.
And it's Lakeland?
Well, that was the district she was in the Senate.
I'm trying to see if I
can find out who the Democrat is. Let's see. It's all of Indian River County, most of Osceola County, and a very small portion of Polk County. Takes in Kissimmee, Melbourne, and Vero Beach. Patrick Space Force Base. Really? We've got a Space Force Base? Son of a gun.
I remember when it was an Air Force base.
And she's running against, she's primarying the incumbent Republican Scott Franklin.
Who apparently didn't tick all of the crazy boxes. Although with Republicans, I mean, you don't only have to tick one. Really, when it comes right down to it.
No, I'm trying to find out. Who the candidates are.
And the primary's in August, I think you said.
Yeah, August 23rd. Okay, for the Democratic primary, there are at least running candidates. William Van Horn, Cesar Ramirez, Eddie Geller, Alan Cohn, and Gavin Brown are all Democrats running for that nomination. If I understand the page correctly at Ballotpedia. Yeah.
I'd vote for Cesar Ramirez. Heartbeat.
Yeah, Cesar Ramirez, not Cesar Romero, damn it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I always liked him in them Carmen Miranda pictures.
God damn it. I knew you were going to go there. I knew
it. The lady who put the fruit salad on her head. You know, she's got an interesting story. I forget where I saw it, but there's a documentary.
I know she was married to Javier Cugat.
Yes. And you know who else was married to him later on?
Charo.
Charo.
She so called him Coogie.
Coogie.
Oh, and by the way, happy birthday to our dear, dear sister and founding member of the sorority of Leans, Darlene, in Connecticut, whose birthday it is today. Happy birthday, Darlene. I hope you celebrate it in wonderful style. $100 birthday challenge in honor of the fact that Harrison Ford, Patrick Stewart, and the drummer of Twisted Sister share a birthday today with someone as famous as me. And then, of course, Space Force! Thank you, that's Darlene. Good. That would be fantastic. That would get us down to 787. If anybody would like to join in celebrating Darlene's birthday with her.
Was anybody famous? Do you share a birthday with any stellar person besides you, I mean?
I'm trying to remember. Okay, let me look.
The only person I can think of offhand for mine is Catherine Graham. Which I'm proud to share.
Well, that's pretty nice.
We had a
book of famous birthdays once upon a time, and I'm pretty sure Annette shares a birthday with Chairman Mao.
Oh God.
let's see. John Lydon, also known as Johnny Rotten, on my birthday.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Marcus Mumford, Justin Timberlake, Carol Channing. That's appropriate. Tallulah Bankhead and I have the same birthday.
Well, you've got a lot of Tallulah in you, Robin. And wasn't her father a
senator, U.S. senator from Alabama?
Yeah.
Ernie, the late great baseball Hall of Famer Ernie Banks, Mr. Cub, on my birthday. Jackie Robinson. But there's no Harrison Fords there.
Well, no, but when you've got, you don't need a Harrison Ford with the ones that you share a birthday with.
Well, Tallulah Bankhead was a rowdy woman, and she was, you know, I was talking a couple of weeks ago about that one quote I saw in the ladies' room, well-behaved women seldom make history. Tallulah Bankhead fits that. But happy birthday, Darlene, and I hope folks will jump in and celebrate with you. It would be mightily helpful in trying to keep the bills paid. It would be fantastically helpful.
I might
celebrate by going out and buying some estrogen.
Imagine an elevator at one of the MGM buildings back in the classic Hollywood days. And imagine standing in the rear of the car, Groucho Marx. And imagine standing in front of him is Tallulah Bankhead wearing a big old wide-brimmed hat. And imagine Groucho being all mischievous, pushing the back of the hat up forward over her face. And she turns around glaring at him. And he said, pardon me, I thought you were a fellow I knew from Kansas City. It cracked me up when he told it.
That's, yes.
But anyway. Well, I've got my work cut out for me. You've hipped me to an important congressional race in Florida. And once the primaries are over, whoever her opponent is, I can send a few bucks his way.
Yeah, maybe wait until after the primary and then support whoever the Democratic nominee is.
Yeah, and see, that's not a bad thing to do. You know, here's how dumb I was. Years ago, like, since I've been out here, so it's been since 2000, I wasn't aware that if you didn't live in the district of someone who was running, I didn't know that you were allowed to contribute to whoever you wanted to, whether it was your district or not. And I can't remember who it was. It was somebody who was running who I liked for a local race somewhere. I don't even remember where it was. But I supported the hell out of that candidate because he or she was up against it. And, you know, if things are fairly secure in your own local House race and state Senate races, how, you know, national Senate races, find a candidate and adopt them if you can. Somebody who reflects your values and outlooks and opinions and attitudes. And if they're up against it and they're in a place that needs a good blue seat, support them if you can. It's no law against it, you know, but only do that if things are secure in your little area, your, as Al Roker says, your little neck of the woods, you know, and if they're not secure where you are, get that battened down and then do what you can, find a candidate or two, you know, to support, and you'll feel better for it, you know, because it's that old 60s thing, and I know I've said it a dozen or more times. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Well, hear, hear.
And it there's something about activism which opens up your universe and makes it be more.
Well, it makes you feel like you're trying to make a difference.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not just you, because see, that's one of the wretched tactics of the Republican Party. They want everybody to be so demoralized and just downtrodden in their mind and in their spirit that we'll think mistakenly that we're alone in the situation when we're not alone.
That has been, you know what, you're absolutely right. That has been a tactic for, well, basically for as long as Flush Flimball was on the air.
Yeah, if they can make you think that it's pointless to do anything, then they've already won.
Yeah, that's what soft voter suppression's about. That's why I tend to push back when, and I think we all suffer from it from time to time, when we find there's those moments where we go, fuck it, it's just not worth it. I push back because that is a, whether we realize it or not, that is a manufactured form of soft voter suppression.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, if they could, and the example that I always fall back on is Ralph Nader in 2000. Sorry, but Ralph Nader in 2000 saying there's not a dime's worth of difference between Al Gore and George W. Bush. What a dirty, rotten, filthy lie that was. And it's particularly grievous when you realize that Ralph, who is, I mean, there has never been a more ideologically pure candidate for president than Ralph, until at least Bernie. And this isn't me gooning on Bernie, but, you know, darlings of the Sparkle Fart propelled Unicorn Cavalry Purity Patrol. And Ralph said there's not a dime's worth of difference between George W. Bush and Al Gore. And he was literally repeating a talking point that was uttered by George C. Wallace and before him, Strom Thurmond.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that say?
That, well, among other things, it tells me that anybody who cuts his own hair and goes out in public ought to know better, not only to cut his own hair, but to and you can look that up, Ralph. I don't know.
Oh, I know. No, no, no. I know.
Okay.
I know.
But
yeah, he used to cut his own hair in a Corvair.
Well, no, wait a minute. That's unsafe at any speed.
Precisely my point.
Exactly. And yeah, I admire him for the work, the decent work that he did on behalf of motorists and consumers.
Right. Right.
You know, but when did he take the crazy pill? The rainbow colored crazy pill. I mean.
But when you encourage people not to vote or to throw their votes away, you are engaging in voter suppression. It's not that hard to figure out.
No, it's not.
Oh, by the way, Jude in the Great Northwest says, Marcus Flowers is challenging Marjorie Taylor Greene. $5 a month gets sent his way. And as they say, let it be. Well, may a thousand flowers grow. Of course, more Republicans voted for her this time through than voted for her in 2020. That's sobering. But the same thing happened in West Virginia with regard to Nitwit Nero. More people voted for Nitwit Nero in 20 in West Virginia than voted for him in 16.
And that tells me that there's still plenty to be done. And it's not going to get done unless we do it. I mean, I hate to be the bearer of stark news, but unless we do it, it ain't going to get done.
No, it's not. And you know, today I had to run a couple of errands. I always have a couple of errands to run every day. Had to pick up prescriptions for Annette, and Ferg wanted a little tub of night crawlers to take the, not the new grandbaby, but the four-year-old grandbaby, take her fishing. And running out one of the back roads, of course, I immediately drove past the, you know, I drive past this place every day with their "Fuck Joe Biden" banner, you know, these good Christians, good West Virginia Christians. And then heading out the back road, I drove past a house. It's quaint. It's an old white farmhouse. It's pretty. There's old farm outbuildings behind it. It's obviously been there probably longer than this one has been. It's gorgeous. It's not particularly fancy. It's just pretty. It looks like a home in the hill up a holler in West Virginia. And right there on their gate, big old red and blue banner, "Let's go, Brandon!"
Jesus.
And I know it probably marks me as a bad person, but I see that and I go, look, there's an idiot. Oh, look, there's another idiot. It's like, you know, when you've got a "Let's Go Brandon" or a "Fuck Biden" or a "Trump 2024 banner in your yard, or maybe you're still flying your Trump 2020 banner. That's like running a flag up a pole, a white flag with bold black numbers showing, and it says IQ 49.
Yeah, you halfway expect to see someone wearing a shirt next to him that says, "I'm with stupid," with the arrow pointing toward him.
Yeah.
You know, and see, and who are people like that trying to convince, Robin? They're certainly not going to.
Well, that's the question I was asking at the beginning of the program. When this old codger walked in and started talking in a big old voice, but I'll tell you what, this America's just going to hell. That bunch of goddamn Democrats up in Washington's ruining everything. We ain't going to have no country left by the time we grow up there. Well, we need Donald Trump. Nobody was talking to him.
Well, and who do we know?
And he just buttonholed some old dude that he knew and started, you know, going at him.
Who do we know that from 2015 onward, low into this present day, has laid out the red carpet for people to feel free to speak whatever crazy trash they want to no one in particular, just because the tangerine tinted tub of guts says it's okay?
Well, you answered your own question.
Well, there, I guess I did, didn't I? But, and it, see, now, as you were telling that story of the guy in the store, who is just another version of the guy in the diner. Have I ever told you about the guy in the diner?
Not off the bat, I don't recall. Diner,
and there's a lot of stools in front of the counter, and there at the very end stool, not close to the entrance, but on the other end of the stools, is who the guy I call the guy in the diner. And the guy in the diner has the answer to everything. Now, it may not be a question that you posed. He doesn't need that. He'll provide the answer without the question being put to him. Okay? But he knows what...
Yeah, it's like more on Jeopardy.
Yeah. Okay? He knows what makes the world work. He knows what makes the world not work. And if you want the answer to it, just sit there next to him as he crinkles his crackers into the chili. And he'll tell you. He will just lay it on you. And the guy that you ran into today is the retail store version of the guy in the diner. And If I were to encounter someone like that, and thankfully, there are not many of them that I run into, okay? But if I did, I would say, you know, that's interesting what you said, sir. May I say something? And here's what I'd say. Sir, you may not realize it, but human beings are hardwired to be right and look good by making others bad and wrong. And even repeat it slowly, okay? And just pat him on the shoulder or shake his hand or whatever and say, thank you for letting me share that with you. I hope that you will bring this notion to mind from time to time and that possibilities in your life will open up as a result. And then go back doing whatever it is.
Right, and he looks at you and goes, what?
What? Is a monkey working a math problem look on his face? Okay.
There's never a bad night for the reference to the monkey working math.
I know.
I wish, I know, Jesus, I wish I could paint. I wish I could draw.
the monkey
would have the little visor on. This happens every time. And it's the fact that he's holding his pencil. He's got it. You know, he's in the moment, and he's got the pencil, and he's touching it to his tongue.
A little monkey tongue. With his little brow furrowed.
Yes! Oh, the brow has to be furrowed, even with the visor.
Well, if that ever becomes a T-shirt, I want one. I want one of them monkey working a math problem T-shirts. But what I would say to the guy is actually a very powerful and serious concept. And if it can get through to him somehow and register, and if he can give it some sort, some thought, serious thought, and not just slough it off as some liberal talking trash to him. Things do penetrate with some people. Now, this guy sounds like he's a lost cause or a lost case. So maybe he doesn't have the capacity to learn something new or important or useful or powerful. But sometimes if you hit somebody with a little bit of reaction.
Yeah, and I'm guessing he's at least 10 and maybe as much as 20 years older than me. At a maximum, he would be 79. He's probably somewhere between 69 and 79.
And you know what? He's probably scared shitless. Because when you can see the end more clearly than you can see the beginning, that alone brings a number of problems. You see your situation in a whole different way.
Yeah.
And like I say, I try to have empathy for people, even if they're irretrievably stupid and angry and upset. I try to, on a human-to-human basis, give them space to be in. Because they're there anyway.
Oh, yeah. What you said you would say to him is very much a Zen thing, Scott.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And it's not making him and see, when I use that phraseology, it's not like I'm trying to make them bad or wrong and look good and be right. It's the exact opposite. It's putting a notion out there that I know I've benefited from. And I am so happy as a beneficiary of that insight that I'd like to share that with someone else.
You're not foisting it. You're sharing.
And I'm not making a judgment either.
No.
It's simply an observation.
No, it's entirely facially and substantively and procedurally neutral.
And I found it to be life altering. When it was laid on me 30-some years ago, you know? And I grew from it. It grew in me, and I grew as a result, okay? And so there's no judgment involved. There's no me making them bad or wrong and being right and looking good. It's simply saying there's something that I urgently want to pass on to you for your benefit. And that's my motives are pure. I'm telling you. And I can't really accurately and appropriately express. Once I got that, you can't unget it, okay? And I have to call my cell phone, call myself on that more often than I care to think about.
Yeah, well, it's a self-check-in, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the ultimate reality check. Because unless and until we can somehow transcend our wiring, our hard wiring, that's the fucking circuit board that runs it.
I transcend every day.
Well, I didn't mean transcend, Robert. I meant... Now, see, you're being mean. That's all there is to it. But you get what I'm saying. It's human beings are hardwired to be right and look good by making others bad and wrong. Lay a little of that on somebody who you think might need it or might benefit from it would be even better.
Absolutely. And, hey, thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs jumped back in to wish Darlene a happy birthday. Darlene said, thanks, but meh, it wasn't a great day. I was on puppy puke pickup patrol today for the most part. Fingers crossed Alfie remains quiet and behaves overnight. But we will join you in the finger crossing, Darlene.
Well, Darlene, perhaps the birthday fairy will leave on your doorstep a puppy puke picker-upper electronic robot device that you can set it and forget it.
That would be loved. What would that be? A pukeba? Not a Roomba.
A pukeba.
I learned about a new thing the other day, and apparently, wow, because modern cannabis is so strong, and people now, you know, you can't get physically addicted to it, but you can become psychologically dependent. And it's so strong now that people will begin coughing so hard that they begin to puke.
Good God, puke bud.
But they will also scream while they puke. I've actually seen examples or heard examples of this. And we have a new word in the English language, and I hope the folks over at the Oxford Dictionary of the English Language are paying attention for their new words of the year list. Because this is a doozy. Scromiting.
Scromiting.
Scromiting. S-C-R-O-M-I-T-I-N-G. Scromiting.
What's Fred doing over in the corner? Sounds like he's scromiting.
Oh, pay no attention. Pay no attention to Fred over there. He just got too big a hit and he's scromiting.
Well, in all my years, I have never heard of something being so strong that it makes me puke.
Oh, you know, I've done that. I just didn't do the screaming part. Oh yeah, and I remember, you know, way back that, you know, there was an old saying in the back times, got to cough to get off.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I would cut that with something. You know, go talk to your grandpa and get a Lucky or a Camel or an Old Gold and cut it with a little of that to mellow it out. Because if you're puking and coughing and you're off in a corner in an inoperative state, then this bud's not for you. Maybe you need something a little milder, you know.
Right.
God damn, that's
so just remember, scromiting. And by the way, Jude is sending happy birthday wishes to Darlene. When she heard about Alfie, she sent along a picture of this cute, fuzzy black puppy. Sending this your way, dear Darlene, from Chester and me at Evo, many of my coworkers bring in their beloved dogs. As you can see, Chester is filled with warmth and happiness. I'll forward that along to Darlene. Thank you, Jude. One last thing and we're out of here, okay?
Works for me.
And maybe in the 5 minutes or so we're doing this, maybe we can, you know, maybe we can bring in the other $90 of Darlene's happy birthday challenge.
That's entirely doable.
Shouldn't be that difficult. So over on Fox and Fiends, you know, that morning zoo crew at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda.
They make me scromit.
It is scromitous. So Pete Hegseth talked about the fact that he really doesn't like Thomas Jefferson's house anymore.
Monticello.
Yes, Monticello, and the woman in the middle of the sofa between the two idiots is Rachel Campos Duffy. I think she's Sean Duffy's spouse, who used to be the congressman for the northernmost district in Wisconsin, reality TV star, whatever.
Blindingly white county?
Absolutely. Well, no, it's not. No, it's not blindingly white. No, there's a significant indigenous population there, and they're my dear friends. Rachel Campos Duffy went to Monticello, and she is so upset, Scott. She's terrible upset.
Was it something in the gift shop, Robin?
I think it's in the signage.
Oh, no.
Recent visitors to Monticello, the estate he designed, where his library is, I've been there. It's a beautiful thing to see, take your kids to, have noticed that the whole tone of how Thomas Jefferson is described has changed. And it's overwhelmingly negative. You go to visit the legacy of Thomas Jefferson, and you learn about what a terrible person Thomas Jefferson was. Here's a sign that greets visitors at Monticello when you arrive. It says, "Is all men are created equal being lived up to in our own country today? When will we know when it is?" And here's a quote from a visitor. William Bales of Chester, Virginia, wrote in an online review about visiting Monticello, "Half of the comments on Jefferson were critical. Even my 11-year-old daughter noticed the bias." So, guys, they're not just doing it in our classrooms and our textbooks. They're doing it in the places we visit and how they describe our founders.
Yeah, if you go to the gift store, and by the way, it's not limited to Montpelier. I visited many of these homes. I did a series for Fox Nation on America's First Ladies, and so I went to these homes, and that is definitely what I picked up from all of this, that there is a reorienting, reconstructing of this of the history to basically make sure that the idea that they had slaves is on the same level as what they did for our country, which is interesting because there were slaves, you know, in the Middle East. There's slaves across, you know, human history. I get that. It's a terrible history. We should talk about it. But
don't talk about it at Thomas Jefferson's house. Just talk about how cool Thomas Jefferson was. And don't talk about him walking around the White House in a bathrobe and some ratty ass slippers and talking in a high reedy voice. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about the windowless room that he kept one female enslaved person who was the half-sister of his dead wife in so that nobody could hear her scream when he was raping her. Don't talk about that! They are so... Good God, the white fragility here is positively friable.
Are they like... Have they run out of things to go on about defending their own record? That they've got to talk about the sign-in book at the fucking gift shop at Monticello?
This is how critical race theory has infiltrated our very culture, because we can't talk about what gods our founders were now because they were enslavers. I mean, it's real. Why can't, you know... Well, okay, I mean, mention it and move on or something. Let's talk about Declaration of Independence or something.
How long do you think I would last, Robin, if tomorrow... What time are they on? In the morning, like against Morning Joe?
Yeah, it's like 6 to 9.
How long do you think I'd last if I tuned in at the top of the hour?
You'd be scrommeting!
I would surely be scrommeting. I'd be losing it from both sluices at both ends, you know?
God damn it, Marvelline, this story about how they're besmirching Thomas Jefferson just makes me want to scrum it.
And I it's in the...
See how we weave topics and issues together on this program?
Well, and they're all connected in some way. I mean, when it comes right down to it. And it just troubles me that, and we've talked about this, and I know time is just about, it's over. But I'm just saying, it gripes the hell out of me that programming and channels like that are on the basic package. If you're so poor that you can only afford your local stations and maybe 8 or 10 higher up the dial. It troubles me that these people can get this shit pumped into their home from Onan and Fox News and whatever the other ones are, and just get their little heads saturated with.
But you got to pay extra for mourning Mika and her salvaging.
Oh, yeah, the Redwoods. Yes, I think they ought to come out with Yosemite Sluggers. You know, like Roy Dobbs. Was that the name in The Natural that Robert
Yeah.
Get a little lightning bolt stamped onto your Yosemite Slugger, boy, and just get right out there and bat your ass off.
Bat your ass off.
What can I say? I'm not drunk.
I don't know. That sounds like it needs to be the slogan of a sports bar or something, but she wasn't done. You know, we can't have an even-handed interpretation of history. No.
Should not feel guilty or ashamed of our leaders when we go and visit the people who brought us the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. You leave feeling that way. By the way, Joey, before you go, mm-hmm. when you go to the gift stores, you will find prominently displayed Ibram Kendi and Tisha Coates. all of their books on anti-racism are on display there.
Yeah, it's guilt forth and forthright. Listen, if you go to Monticello, if you go to Mount Vernon, you can't visit those places without seeing where the slaves lived and the work they had to do and the impact they had. These were great men as far as their ideas go, but they were able to build this on the backs of slaves, and we honor that, and we talk about that. That's different than rewriting the importance of Jefferson, the importance of Washington or whoever it may be, and why have Monticello at all if you're only going to use it for grievance.
Yeah.
Celebrate the little part of these mostly men that was exceptionally good and understand that none of them were perfect. And I tell you what, none of their leaders are perfect. I mean, you go down the line of any of our,
a good point.
Socialists.
But we do have a statement from Jen Lyon, a Monticello spokesperson, says, our goal is to present.
Oh my God. You know what he was intimating there, don't you? You know where he was about to go.
I heard her mutter socialist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Their leaders, those people. You know, J. Edgar Hoover proved that Martin Luther King philandered on his wife. I mean, I know this code well enough to almost know it before it's coming. Sorry, says Shorty in L.A., mad at the truth. Malcolm said, don't be mad at me, be mad at the truth. So we got a statement.
Present an honest, inclusive history of Monticello in all aspects, as well as Jefferson's contributions to the founding of the country. And that's all good and well, but if you go there to take a tour and all they tell you is how terrible this person is, people are going to quit taking tours.
You come away thinking how terrible this country is. Pete, one of the things about your book that I love is that you go back and you look at the source of, look, where's all this coming from? The boards of these, the boards of these, you know, living museums, if you will, the homes of these presidents, are being populated. This is a very diabolical plan on the part of the left. So what they've done is they've taken their donors on the left, and they've populated the boards of these estates with leftists. And so you have Rubenstein, a private equity billionaire from the Carter administration, who, by the way, has pledged extensive investments into China. So this is a way to deflect, go, look at all this money I gave, and I'm on board with 1619, and I'm telling the true history of America and its terribleness and enslavement of people and how it's just not perfect. Don't look over here at all the money I'm making in China that actually has real life slaves in, with the Uyghurs.
Don't look over here at all the amazing things that Thomas Jefferson unleashed as well for generations of people.
Right. Don't look at Thomas Jefferson sitting there scribbling in the blistering heat of July 1776, blathering on about the merciless Indian savages.
I like that word, unleashed. How do you unleash positive things? Unleash just like a wild beast that you want to.
Yeah,
like,
as in let slip the dogs of war.
There you go. I'm so happy that I don't watch that shit.
Freedom unleashed.
If I had the means,
sick 'em.
I would get on a flight that take me as close as I can get to Charlottesville, walk proudly into the TJ gift shop, and get me a TJ 16-ounce tumbler with Monticello emblazoned on one side of it and Thomas on the back winking at me, and just shove it right into her pie hole. Because that woman needs to shut the fuck up, and because she obviously doesn't know what she's talking about.
Well, she is, as we say here in the hills, dumber in the head than a hog is in the ass.
You think?
We also say things like, them two guys, they're blivets. You remember the definition of a blivet, do you not?
No, I don't know a blivet.
A blivet is 10 pounds of shit stuffed in a 5-pound onion bag.
That'd be a blivet, all right. You mean one of them mesh onion bags?
Yes, that's what makes it a blivet. And, of course, we can use these on them, too. If their brains was gas, they wouldn't have enough to fill up a piss ant's motorcycle and run it halfway around a BB.
There you go. I'm so happy I skipped that channel. I don't want to see anything that they've got to say.
No, but I want to start a new program called Freedom Unleashed.
Woof! I like that. I like the sound of that.
Sit, Liberty. Sit.
Woo! All right, Robin. Well, we've gone over.
Yeah, we have, but we went over in damn fine style.
Now, how
I got thank yous to send.
Well, I was hoping you would.
Thank you very kindly, so very much, to Colin. Thank you, Colin. Colin finished off the challenge and put a little bit further more toward it, toward getting us, you know, into better shape. So thank you. That took us down to where were we? 887, and that takes us down to 787.
All right.
And then our dear friend Christopher said, "Happy birthday, Darlene." And so we are at 772. So that means we're at 1072 tomorrow, and that's a hell of a lot better than, like, you know, 1472. So that's tremendous. So at 1072, that'll mean tomorrow, today, yesterday, and $172 of Monday. But last week is fully funded. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Thank you, Scott. It's been a delightful conversation.
Well, thank you, Robin, because you're there running the dials and switches and answering the phone. And I'm glad that I had something to contribute.
Oh, sometimes you always do. And
sometimes I don't, but I like it when I do.
And it was a while back, but I forget who it was that said it. Well, Lady B said, "You too, just you too."
If they ever bring back vaudeville, we're set.
Oh, we're so ready.
I'll let you be Gracie. I'll be George.
I don't think it would work any other way. Good night, George.
Good night, Gracie, and say good night to Mrs. Calabash, because I know she's listening.
Wherever she is. Good night, right. Gracie.
Take care, Robin.
Yeah, all right. Good night, George. See ya.
Good night, Gracie.
Bye. And so ends another prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And thank you so much for helping out the deacons. They didn't have to lock the doors. People were actually able to go to the restroom during the homily and whatnot. Thank you. Goodness. Thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you so much for your help in keeping all of this going. It means so very much. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Again, happiest of birthdays, Darlene. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Steve, Brother Bishop Steve, in the chat room. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Hopefully, brand new fresh Malloy on the way. 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is Head on .live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know. The folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and now a proud union shop. Stay safe. I really do think it's booster time. I know what Paul from Parts Unknown's strategy is, but I can't count on living in a state where people will be smart, and they're saying that BA4 and BA5 may be genuinely awful. I know Mike is still trying to shake it, and he's still testing positive. Oh, so you got that. Get your booster, and by all means, wash your hands, don't touch your face, wear your mask in busy areas. I'm back to masking, and I think it's the right thing to do. Maintain your social distance, 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. Wear gloves if you feel like it's necessary. It does cut down on the things you come in contact with, as long as you take them off correctly. And by all means, if somebody comes towards you saying, you know, all they want to do is talk about slavery, and they don't talk about how great Thomas Jefferson was. They just talk about slavery. That's all. I don't know why they got to talk about slavery all the time. Avoid that dumber than a box of rocks maggot like the plague, because they are. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.